And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear. But we are relatively concerned about this election. You know, there is, let me tell you what's happening today. In the first hour right now on the phone is Mr. John Brakey. John Brakey, electionnightmares.com. Electionnightmares.com. He is co-founder of Audit AZ, Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency in Elections. Now, John and I have been working together for a long time. This is when I first started doing radio and so on. We got to tell all our election horror stories or election nightmares, you know. And John took the ball, man. He went and go, ooh, we'll go get some. Now, he's done it through primarily the Democratic Party perspective, but you come across, it's the same all over. It's they, them, those. And he's right now he has a temporary restraining order that they're doing closing arguments on today, and we'll know today if you're going to have an election worth the crap here today. Because if they get what they want, and they're going to be able to audit the hard, we'll talk about it, then Pima County election results probably be different than everybody else. So we're going to find out. Second hour, Scott Horton. You know, he's going to get us caught up on, you know, Russia and Putin and the Third World War and the POTUS circus and whatever. And then in the last half hour, the third hour, Joe Miller. Now he's going to be calling in the studio. He's a libertarian for U.S. Senate, and it's a fantastic story. The libertarians drafted him, their candidate. They took, you know, he voluntarily stepped back and allowed this guy to come in and run as a libertarian. Because last time, God, how'd the story go? Sean Dow is an activist here. He's on the Ron Paul campaign, working as staff there, and during the especially the 12 campaign. And what happened was a friend of his that ran for U.S. Senate in, you know, John will like this. And you just say hey to John. John, I got you there.
Yes, sir. You certainly do.
Oh, I can't hardly hear you, man. You got to do something.
Speak up, then. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Is he on Skype? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was pushing the wrong button, man.
Okay,
there you go. All right, John, you got. I don't remember the whole story. This is like a month ago we set this up, but I got to tell you this. You'll like this. Here you have a candidate that was running for Republican nomination. He beats the incumbent in the Republican primary. He beats the incumbent. The incumbent runs as a write-in and wins in Alaska against the on-the-ballot Republican. She was the incumbent, wins, and how she won is her name is Moskowitz or something like that. And they decided to count all the Mickey Mouse write-in votes for her, okay? And that puts her over because the Secretary of State says, you know, that counts for her, I just, thus saith the Secretary of State. Well, it just so happens that the Secretary of State was the incumbent Republican sister. You can't make this stuff up, man. So anyway, so the guy that lost, you know, to Mickey Mouse, you know, is now running again, but on the Libertarian ticket again. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up. It is just so bad. So, We're going to be talking about that in the third. I heard that story, and I just couldn't believe it. I just, you know, how bad can it get, you know? So, John Brakey, you know, let's go ahead and tell everybody what you've been doing, you know, for like the last decade. And then we're up to now to where bottom line is that Pima County got election systems and software. I think that's what ES&S stands for. They are the only ones that bid for a contract to have optical scanners. They can, hey, man, you know about this election fraud, and you got John Brakey there, and he's going to kick everybody's butt. Nobody wants to be part of John's going to kick their ass. So we have this one system to where it optically scans every single paper ballot, puts a barcode on that and matching barcode on the optical PDF scan or whatever it is of it, and then that creates a file of all the paper in the election so anybody can go audit it. Well, when they sold that for $800,000 or whatever to Pima County, then they go, wow, man, this is really good. Yeah, too good. And they turned off the optical scanners, deleted the files, and you're not allowed to do it anymore. But they go, well, what the hell did you pay for it for? Oh, it just made us look good. We're not going to use it, you know. So this election, John's like, hey, we want to audit it. This is the process by which we're doing it. And they go, we don't think we want to do it. Now you're doing a temporary restraining order to make them do what they bought the $800,000 machine to do. How far off am I?
You're right on the money, except it was a $1.2 million investment they made.
Of course.
And that it was illegal for them to turn those off because, you know, in an election, you save everything, okay? The envelopes, the ballots are mailed in, the whole thing. And shutting this down was only for one reason: to protect the right to cheat now or in the future.
I know. Well, what is the courts? How's it going through the courts? See, you got there's a movie. You guys got to look. Make sure it's in the first hour. Fatally Flawed. Okay, Donna's going to put it up. It was a documentary on them. It was a light rail transportation system, water or something. It was a big, you know, gazillion dollar, $2 billion thing. And they're like, no, hell no, not just no, but hell no. And they went and analyzed that election and just uncovered all kinds of stuff and the cover-up that went all the way to the governor's office. This is attorney general, guy. It was just a mess. Republicans, Democrats, it's a mess. So John, you know, he got his bulldog teeth into it. He's not going to let it go. And we've been helping as much as we can. But I tell you, it set so much precedent and attention on this that a lot of these companies don't want to touch Pima County. Now, John is sitting there going, I'm going to get you on this one. And who are you up against?
I'm up against the county itself. Chuck Huckleberry, of course. You know, he's the guy who's been in power forever. For 25 years, he's the one who controls the Board of Supervisors, worked for, realistically for the Don, which we, Donald Diamond, very well known, used to own the Phoenix Suns, I guess, with partners in that, the baseball team, got a couple yachts in different oceans. It's the typical status quo, Ernest, that's what we're fighting.
Well, you've got a reputation that through, especially this election cycle with Bernie and Hillary and whatever, they've been shipping you around the country, man. Have you come across some good stuff?
Oh, it's incredible what we've uncovered, you know, starting off with Massachusetts, going all the way through Arizona and having the legal battle we had here. And then just the most incredible heist of all my years of watching elections, what California was and how Hillary got to be where she is right now. It's the wild west of the United States. I mean, you know, compared to the rest of the world watching us and wondering what the heck's going on with the people in the United States to believe all the crap they do about the Russians. And, you know, when you start off your show, you know, I am alarmed that we're playing Russian roulette with the Russians.
Yeah, it's hard to win that one.
Yeah.
You know, this is the election here. If you're successful in getting, what is it that you're asking for? They do their job? I mean, what are you saying?
Basically, you know, it's kind of like a mandamus. Your Honor, can you order these assholes to go ahead and do their job and go ahead and save that data that they must do under the Federal Help from their Federal Vote Act? I mean, it's their job, and they're destroying it, and they lied about it over and over and over again.
You know, this is the one thing that I always find out in this legislation. Thou shall do this, and thou must do that. But whenever there's not a penalty, whenever there's not jail time, whenever there's not any repercussions or liability or anything, they just don't do it.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, and there's 11 counties, I want you to know that, that have this device. Maricopa is the only one that does not have images. Yeah. And so once I win this, I go after the other counties, and then the next thing you know, maybe we're going to have maybe McCain gone. I mean, you know, the presidential race is gone. It's the other races, the Board of Supervisors. It's your new recorder in Maricopa. Even though there's no images there, it could set precedent.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I did not know this. Now, you're saying it's they have the optical scanner. They bought that for every county except Maricopa.
Well, it's 11 counties that have digital images. 10 of them are the ESNS, and Yavapai has a different system. But these new systems are buying off-the-shelf scanners that make digital imagery, and the image is what is counted, not the ballot. And so it puts it right in the chain of custody that it must be saved by law.
Whoa, freaking time out. You did not tell me this. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're doing digital imaging, and then the digital imaging is what's being counted.
Yes, and then destroyed.
Why?
Because fraction magic only changes the numbers. It does not, I repeat, change the image. It's impossible to do, so they have to get rid of it. And we're trying to do this on a national level now. I want you to know that.
I like having the paper as the paper when you get down to the original of the paper. And I can see the benefits of you take an image and you can use it for auditing of the paper. But the fact that they're taking an image and then counting the image, why would they do that? I mean, what's the benefit in that?
It's a great audit setup.
A great audit for an audit, but the actual...
Yeah, but you go back to the... You take the images, they're in a cast vault record, they're hyperlinked, and then at the very end, I tell people, you use Dr. Phil Stark's risk limit audits, and you pick a few images, you go in and say, match this, like a fingerprint. In our state, we really can't get at the ballots, and you cannot run a hand count by looking at them, but you can match them like fingerprints. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand. You know, there's a lot of things you can do digitally with these, you know, once you get the image and you can do and check and whatever you want. But it just also, you know, if they don't have John Brakey on their shoulder, they can say it did whatever the hell they want it to say. Hell, they can bring in a digital imaging they already created from, you know, 3 months before. I mean, you know,
it's hard to do, but we do know that.
See, there still has to be a matching with the actual physical hard paper copy as a validation that the digital images are the copy. Like there's some kind of a audit of the digital imaging, you know, to the paper. If you break that, then, you know, what's the point? It's just another digital image of a file I got over here from 5 elections ago. I mean, you know.
Except these digital images can be sorted. They can be put online.
No, I understand as an audit.
Precinct, and then you match later after you do a count, sitting in your living room with a couple of friends.
I understand. But I'm telling you, if there's not a validation of that digital imaging to the paper, then, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me.
I agree. And you make sure that we all do that, Ernest, because that's what has to happen. It has to be matched to be 100%.
Unless it's not good enough. All right. Let's walk through. Yeah, okay, we'll sum up this when we come back because I did not know some of that. All right, here we go.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay. I did not know that some of the stuff John was telling. Okay, there are, how many counties, Arizona? 14, 15, 16, what?
15 counties.
Okay, 15 counties, all right? 15 counties. Maricopa is the largest. It's the largest land mass county, I think, in the country. It's one of the biggest.
It's the fourth largest county, I believe, in the United States when it comes to voters and population.
Really? Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, so Maricopa County, fourth largest in the country of voting. And guess what? It's the only county that doesn't have the optical scanners for the audit. I'm going, it is to laugh. Okay. So 11 other counties, which leaves a few out, and none of them are that big of anything. But you have the concentration of population is definitely Maricopa. Then it goes Pima, which is Tucson. I guess Coconino would be next, Flagstaff. But it's that drops off really fast. So Maricopa County, the majority of the votes in the state, which is what percentage? It's over half at least.
It's 61% to 62% because the rest of this 38% of the state now has these graphic image scanners.
Okay. Now, this is what's going on. I take my paper ballot, and when do they scan the paper? It's not at the precincts. It's at the central counting place?
Yes, exactly. Everybody's really moving to these DS-850s or a few 200s, but they both produce a digital image. You know, the paper goes into the machine, and it works very fast, and it takes an image of it. And if the image is successful, it knows it. And then it encrypts a number into the image, and then it's supposed to put a number on the ballot. Now you have something that matches for auditing, and then it goes into a cast vote record, which I have one, Ernest, and it's 176,000 rows of voting, and it starts at A on a column, and it ends at HH. And that means you have everything that's happening. That was a primary, by the way. That's why it goes to HH at the end. It has everything you voted, and then there's supposed to be a link, a hyperlink, to actually take you to look at the digital image, and it is an audit's dream. I'm telling you, it's the best system I've ever seen.
So if you get access to this file, these digital images, you're sitting at your desk in your study doing whatever?
Auditing.
Okay, so the auditing of what? Now, I'm auditing the digital image of every piece of paper, supposedly, but if I don't have the certified in the locked box of paper that I can audit the digital imaging that I'm going to audit from, well, if you don't have that option, it doesn't mean anything to me. I could have the digital audit file of three elections ago, for all you know, or I made it up, or I did it in the basement of the White House, or, you know, you see my point?
Yeah, I do. And that's why at the end of any audit, you use Dr. Phil Stark's scientific method of risk-limiting audits, and then you randomly select images, and then you say, match me to the original one.
Okay. All right. Now we're validating the file that has all the optical images. And how you do that, you go through all your auditing, and everybody gets a copy of, and every voter on the planet gets access to. We'll find out how we get access. That's what's going on with this lawsuit today. But, you know, you get access to it and audit your heart out and peace out. But you want to check and validate that audit file that you're using. That's when you go to the actual paper and you do random selection, throw darts and select number and kind of, and this one matches. Yep, there's a paper that matches this optical. Okay, we're good with that. We got enough that we statistically know that this is the file and we're happy and go, okay, peace. Then here comes Audit AZ with John Brakey and says, hello, I want that file. Well, the file gives you the ability to do the audit, but now they're deleting the file. They got the machine, got the equipment, got it all promised, and they gave a great presentation. Pick us. This is the greatest, most wonderful. They go, yep, we pick you. We pick them. We're all good. Okay, good. Well, then I want to see the audit file. You know, not so much. We're gonna destroy it. We didn't record it. We turned it off or whatever. Is that what's going on?
Well, yeah, but, you know, simply they can't turn it off because if you don't make the image, it doesn't record because it does not count the actual ballot. It counts the picture of the ballot.
Okay,
second it was created, it became a public record for you and me.
No, I understand the law.
Yeah.
But they don't care. When do they have this? Since when? How long have you been doing this, man? Since when do they care what the law says?
When they care when people like you and me stand up and we give them what we got to give them.
Okay, so now they have the file that can be audited in the law. I guarantee it says, and those that can look at it and audit this and must, you know, kiss the sword ring, do a backflip, something. Okay, what's the criteria by which you get to audit that file?
By filing a public records request and demanding it because it's a public record. It belongs to you and me and everybody else.
Oh, and they go, you know what, man, we'd have to give it to them if we had it. And we counted it. We did the totals and deleted it.
And they lied about it for 9 months and made believe that the files were still there is what they did. It was very they know they're in trouble. And I'd say this, the Secretary of State, in my opinion, the governor, they are part of making sure these things are being destroyed. And you have to ask yourself why. Why do they not want us to have a way to make elections transparent, trackable, and publicly verifiable?
Okay, this is amazing that they've made it to where you can. They sold it on you can. They have it, you can. And then they go, the only way that we have John Brakey can't get this is if, and it's gone.
Yeah, they lie and destroyed them.
Okay, so now you're going, your temporary restraining order today, it's built up, and it's kind of, we got an argument, I got an argument, and something happens today. What's happening today?
Well, at 10 o'clock, we're in court for closing arguments, and then, you know, the judge can make a decision today, or he can make a decision, you know, 30 days from now.
I guarantee it's under advisement.
Unity.
I'm sorry? No, I guarantee it's going to be... I'll take it under advisement. I'll get you whenever I feel like it. And then there's deadlines and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And 30 days from now, it's after the election and kind of and whatever. So I'm wondering what you're going for today is the judge to say what? They can't destroy the file?
They already have. He already has done that. We have a temporary hold.
Okay.
And that means his order, if it comes out 30 days from now, will be, yep, you must keep them for 2 years like you do ballots. Or you have permission to destroy him. And we know he's not going to get permission to destroy him.
Oh, how do you know that?
Because it's in the law and he could be easily appealed and he would be look like a fool because it's that clear, Ernest.
Oh, my God. You know how many times I've had that was their job to look like a fool? I you know, the baseball stadium lawsuit that we have, the football thing that we did, the you know, the election laws that we've... challenged. I mean, every single time there's somebody down. Oh, pick me, pick me, pick me. I'll look like the fool and be the butthead and tell them to go to hell. I mean,
well,
literally.
I feel confident that we are going to prevail because we made the case simple. It's purely based on facts.
No, I want them to pay attention to it.
For the talent images yet in a lawsuit. That's the next one.
Okay, I want to pay attention because I'm telling you, if he does this, and they'll do mental gymnastics of why. You know, they'll go, oh, yeah, well, we get to do this because we get to do this and, you know, and appeal and bite me and, you know, and I got my goodies. All right, so we're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence 4. John Brakey, Audit AZ, this election. Okay, if you go and get, well, I would doubt very much that he renders a decision or an order now.
And I agree.
So when he does that, 30 days from now, he already has a temporary restraining on him for holding it for how long? I mean, they go, and there was a crack of a day and a half of it didn't cover it, and it's gone.
You know, that's all possible. You know how these people are, okay?
Yes, I do.
And, I mean, they put ballots in an illegal warehouse and then pass a bill and make it legal. That's LD-20. You know what they did back in 2004?
No, I understand. I remember. You know, and then here, you know, in 06, here comes the freaking FBI and just, and it's gone, you know? And if they got a window of opportunity for them, you know, somebody doesn't have to go to jail, they go, yeah, did you do it? Yes, I did. Well, you knew that we didn't. Hey, man. The law didn't say, and you didn't restrain an order, and it gave us a three-hour window of it's gone now. You know what I mean? This is how this stuff happens. And it's just, and nobody's paying attention after the election. So I'm, it's, this stuff happens right at, you know, I've been through this in court. I get it, man. I'm convinced.
Me too. You know, I've done about a dozen cases over a dozen years. You know what? I'll say this. We win about 60, 70% of them.
All right. Wait, we'll pick it up from where we left off and come back.
Keep it small and simple.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
to sum up. They're bad. They're freedom good, but bad, 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 bad. Okay. If they can, they are. All right. Well, can they, them, those maintain, enhance, and expand their control over the individual and use voting as a freaking excuse to they rule you? Can they? Yep. Yeah, that's what they do. Well, John Brakey, just, man, he sunk his teeth into the behind of the state on, you know, he did a lot of research and went around and everything, and eventually I got on that list of call, hey, what's up? And I go, yeah, you want to know about that? Here, I'll give you 15 years of what's up. You know, go listen to these shows. And he went, damn. And I go, no, this is well known. This is not like a secret. They're like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Well, John was in their face, lawyered up, and went after and kind of man, and just for years, documentary comes out, Fatally Flawed. For years, this stuff's been going on to the point that now there's enough out there. And a lot of this footage that you're seeing now from the Trump campaign saying, Oh my God, they're going to do this, and they can do that. And I go, yeah, that's film footage from 2004. I'm on, it's been 12 years, and you're just now making a big deal out of these revelations that we knew? Anybody that paid attention knew? Well, John's like, yeah, and we're going to document. And I'm going to put it and get pieces of paper and orders and just judge good and bad and kind of man in your face. So in response to that and around the country, here comes a company says, look, we can make this to where we scan every piece of paper, we barcode that paper and connect it to a scan, and that scan has to connect to a paper. Now we got multiple copies, an unlimited number of copies. You know, there is no copyright on the ballot kind of thing. We got 15 zillion digital copies of whatever book of whatever, and it's out there, and anybody can look public document if I want, and I'll go audit myself, and I'll do my own count. And, ooh, because you have optical scanning, the computer software can be done in such a way that it can read how they voted. I mean, hell, it can read, you know, freaking everything else. I mean, they can read how they, I can do it myself on my own computer, myself. I do it myself. Well, they do. Well, that is so much power in the hands of individuals that the government that actually bought these machines in 11 out of 15 counties here in Arizona, they accept Maricopa, which is 60-something percent of the voters here. If that's going to come out something different, John, man. When the Maricopa County votes are different than the other ones that do this, and you go, it is to wonder. So when they have that physical file that you can go through and look at and audit, I think they're worried. So they just went, and what did they do in this last election when they had that machine? What did they try to do with these files?
They destroyed them on a daily basis is what they were doing. As soon as they transferred the, received the data, they destroyed the images because Fraction Magic, which is a program that changes the numbers at a precinct level, does not change the ballot image. So they're incompatible for telling the truth.
Okay, so they were taking the totals and they put them in and they go, yep, this says that about this. And so, oh, yeah, really? I want to go see and look at the actual optical scans of the actual ballots. That's all certified and hyperlinked of a coded, encrypted, whatever the hell. And I want to look at that and compare and see what happened. They go, nah, not so much. Yeah, we destroyed them. They're gone.
Yeah, and they lied about it. That's the incredible part. It was by accident in a July 15th meeting that one person who works for the election director says, oh, gee, you know, we deleted those because we didn't want anybody accusing us of peeking and cheating because they might do that. And that was a lie because inside the 850, it doesn't give totals. It only tells records until it moves to the central computer. And, of course, they're moving this data on a daily basis because they love to sneak and peek before the election. That way they can adjust the totals.
Okay, now that was another thing. What John figured out, and they did forensics of the hard drives. They were in a safe. Judge, they were sealed up, and nobody until we decided, okay, now give it to them. Then the county attorneys went and took them, and they were gone. And they had sheriffs looking for them to get it, and there was hours to get. I mean, chain of custody kind of went. I mean, just corrupt crap, man. But what happened was they went through the hard drives, and they could see that the county elections department was printing out election results before election day from early balloting. That way that they're sending it out to these different initiatives and campaigns and the parties and super county supervisors and whatever. And then they distribute it and they got some hand and, you know, pay me some money because, you know, I know something you don't. And they sent out the percentages of what was happening with these initiatives and candidates. So if something is like 65% winning, they don't spend any more money on that. They go, yeah, we're not wasting our money. This one that's really close over here, a gazillion dollar taxpayer ripoff. Well, we need to put some money in that one, you know. So they would do that. Well, it gave them, even if they couldn't control the ballots themselves, they knew what the totals were so that they could control their marketing for that election before the election day even came. And now here with early balloting and mail-in and all that kind of stuff, do you know what the percentages in Arizona are that's ballots cast by early balloting?
Sadly, it's about 85%.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, it's terrible.
Wow, we are so effed.
It is where they steal. We see it in the election of Sanders and Hillary in the presidential primary. Sanders wins the vote. I'm sorry, wins the precinct vote by 60%. Hillary wins the vote by mail by 60. That's a 40-point spread. That's incredible.
Damn.
I've never seen a split like that ever.
Damn.
It's like Volkswagen, okay? Volkswagen built a computer that 11 million cars worldwide, diesels, would go have their checked on them to see how pollution they had, and it cheated because it knew it was being tested. Our elections, Ernest, are built on procedures. We need elections built on evidence that somebody won, not procedures that you could drive a hacker through and do whatever you want. And that's what our system is. It is it's show and tell is all it is, like you said, and you told me 12, 13 years ago. That's what I'm trying to change.
Well, see, that's one thing. Immediately, when you're talking about, oh, the digital optical, I'm going, that don't mean anything to me until you have that match to the actual paper. You know, if I can't audit the digital file, then they just threw in some digital file. I don't give a crap, you know. So, so that has to be. I mean, if that's not included in it, then it doesn't mean anything to me. So, you're saying that you got that to where, yes, you can compare using a statistical method of they didn't cheat me, as long as you get to compare to the paper. When does that happen?
That happens after the audit, and then you select, and because, you know, in our state, it's ballots are a public record, but they're so afraid that you might get in there and put a piece of lead below your finger and make a mark. I mean, you know, the excuses they use. Yeah. And with the ballot images, well, you know, mark all you want. I got the original to verify if it's real or not. That's key. And in our state, you can look at those ballots, but you can't count them or touch them. Well, all we want to do is take the digital image, print it out, and match it like a fingerprint, because these are all hand-marked paper ballots. And they're all going to have a little different kind of mark.
Well, even then, what they do is, as it goes through the optical scanner, it prints a barcode, a QR code, a number code, or something on the actual physical paper ballot that is linked to the digital image of it anyway. So theirs is a match between the two. So you have an original that could have unlimited number of digital copies that are out there being forensically tested, looked at, and audited, and whatever. But when you get that audit all done, okay, this is of this file. Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything unless that file is validated as being part of these original documents. And you go, yep, I can do that because of that linking, right?
Yes, and that is how we can have elections that are transparent.
Yeah, but you know what I'm telling?
Make it a clear box. We make it trackable, chain of custody, and we make it publicly verifiable. We basically have open sourced the ballot.
Okay, now this is what happens. They have this capability of doing this, and they'll go, yep, see, we wanted to shut you guys up, and we did. Isn't this a great system? Absolutely. About time. Now we want to check it. And they go, no. And we're going to get another election cycle of no. Unless John Brakey is successful today. Today, we're going to find out more. John Brakey, Audit AZ, come back.
This is your Robertson & Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading Wednesday, gold is $4 higher at $1,258 per ounce. Silver is 8 cents higher at $17.61 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $636 US. Roberts & Roberts has been helping clients buying and selling precious metals for nearly 40 years. Call Roberts & Roberts Brokerage today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your
lies! Lies! I want to break free from the lies, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies! Lies, 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 lies. Damn it. You know, all right. Now, this is, there's a, you know, I've been included in some of the emails that John has with them, you know, and I see kind of what's going on and, you know, whatever. But I came across here, John, Karen McKim, that is this Wisconsin? Yeah, Wisconsin. And they've been doing this for the past five elections. You know, tell me about their experience and where they're going.
Well, it's she's kind of like a mentor to me. I've known about ballot imagery for a long time because we've been ever since Harry Hursty back in 2005 when I hooked up with Jim March. He explained it to me. But in Wisconsin, they were the first ones to start using these machines. And what they were able to do, they found out about the ballot imagery, filed a public records request because, you know, their elections are by elected clerks. And so the people get to choose who counts their vote. And so they
really for each election, they go, I want to be election clerk and I'll be election clerk. So John Brakey be signing up, be election clerk.
Well, if I was in Wisconsin, I could run for office. And if they're not cheating me out of it, I could possibly be not in Arizona. So anyway,
but that's wait, I want to make sure I understand this. That's all that they do. Election clerk is that next election.
I guess so. It'd be like being elected to the recorder's office and they're running elections, where Pima County, it's not. A recorder just does the recorder work.
Okay.
You know, so really, sometimes it works real well. Sometimes it doesn't because, you know, of course, you got Helen Purcell who has to go home for lunch at night to find her way home at night running elections.
Okay.
And, even though she should not be because that's not her responsibility under the statutes. It's somebody gave her that ability because the Board of Supervisors are lazy because they are supposed to be the people with oversight of those elections.
Wow. Okay, so this woman, she is one of these elector counter people, you know,
yes.
And for past
she's running
five...
her office right now, running for that position.
Damn. Okay, now we get the ballot images. This is her talking. We get the ballot images for every election and have used them in citizens' audits after the past five elections. We developed great software to view them and wildly transparent public audits, blah, blah, blah. So what's been their experience doing this?
Well, it's at the end of the election, they sit there and they randomly pull precincts and they have four people, two teams, and they have these little clickers like you would be counting people as they come in. And they can do 25 ballots races in 30 seconds. And then they compare, then they do another 25 until they get the whole precinct done. And then they verify the number. And what that really does by doing that, any hacker knows, whoa, I don't want to do that county. They might find me. Because these people who steal only steal if they have impunity. Our job is to take that impunity away by using systems like this, by making them paranoid that they might get caught. Because the people who do this are chicken S's. I'm not going to say the other word. And they will only do it if they don't get caught.
Yep, these guys are chicken shits. Okay. Oh, sorry,
yeah,
did I say that out loud?
Exactly.
Okay, this
I've
is...
I've seen that because, listen, you know, I've been doing this for many years, and about after the case, I decided that I was going to go small. I did it on a small school election. I took away their impunity. I did Santa Cruz County. And then, of course, last November, I caught Pima County on these same machines trying to cheat. And I caught them after the logic and accuracy test trying to switch the database and then lied about it. And I have it all on film.
You know, and then what? We've been doing this a long time.
It's pretty simple, Ernest, is that we stopped them from stealing $800 million because it was the first bond election that Chuck Huckleberry lost out of the last 11. That's what we did. It worked.
I'm glad you're there doing it. I just want to make sure that, you know, as we go through this process, we highlight all the things. They go, yep, we got caught, and, you know, they didn't arrest me, so I did, and they still didn't arrest me, and what are you going to do about it? Then it gets to where you're actually, because they don't have any penalties in the law, nobody goes to jail. And the most you can do is a civil rights or a civil action against individuals, and then they go, well, we got immunity, and they got, I mean, it just goes on and on and on until the next election they do it again. So I'm just going, at what point are you going to be able to stop them from doing it?
You know, I don't know, but I'm not going to quit.
No, I know you ain't going to quit.
Okay, my glass is half empty. I'm going to keep on them, and I'll say this. You know, the other day, the FBI is now involved in things with the county. They picked some low fruit. They're going to flip this guy, and hopefully it's going to go all the way to the top. Who knows? That's hope. I work for hope.
You know, one thing, one of the guys that it finally gets down to where, you know, it's this one guy in the election. He pushes the buttons on the computers, and it's this guy. Well, you have in the movie Fatally Flawed of this guy being deposed, and he was melting down.
Totally.
It was amazing. When they get him into court, he was on, they gave him a pill or something.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
and he'll had a lawyer specially there just to hold his hand. You're going to be all right. Do what we tell you to do. You know, incredible. And it comes through. Eventually, we're going to win because we are not going to quit.
Okay. You know, it gets to the point to where even Sheriff Joe Arpaio gets indicted.
yeah, exactly.
You know, he's, announced they will be charging me with criminal contempt of court. Yeah, you know, Arpaio has been like a fixture here I knew him back in 92. And at first, like, man, we were all tight. But I'm telling you, you know, the next guy is going to be, whatever. You know, you keep pressing on it, sooner or later you get some movement, and they will give up a scapegoat. They will give up, this person. John, thank you for finally getting this person that we insulated you from for all this time. But you got this person. It's all fixed now. So I'm going, no, it's not, okay? So
I agree with that. Never going to be fixed. It's called citizenship, and it's called us being the we, and it's called us holding them accountable and taking it back. That has to be the effort on a constant basis.
Well, you're doing – so today we're going to get some news from you, I hope. You know, send me an email, will you please, a personal – I'm not in the hold so I don't see it kind of thing. You know, just send me, you know, and put it in the subject like, Ernie – you know, election fraud, something that, you know, what happened today? And I want to have you on a regular basis. I'll have Donna at least, you know, get an update for a half hour or something, you know, each week so we can follow this through because we're rocking and rolling right now.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'll send you the film because I film it. I film everything. And that brings up a point. I got a dynamite film that's 27 minutes long, 27 seconds, and it really lays out nationally, locally, what's going on. It tells you the story of four or five stolen elections that we know as a fact, and it goes into fraction magic. It's probably one of the best films that we've produced. Just from raw footage instantly.
Done.
From the meetings that we had in California.
I get ulcers in anticipation of putting it up in this archive on top of the page, make a big deal out of it now. Okay? So send it. But this I thought you were kidding when you said they called it Fraction Magic. That's the actual name of it?
That is the actual name of the program that was developed out of Memphis, Tennessee by following the cheese back to the rat. And we found how the system works. How it our vote is not a whole vote, it's fractionalized, and that way you can go ahead and steal elections with impunity, and that's what we're trying to take away, is that impunity.
Okay, wait. How is this fraction mad that they make it a fraction of, it rounds up on the fraud kind of thing? I mean, what are you talking about?
Rounds up, it rounds down. If you have 99 people in a precinct and they vote and you use a percentage, it would come out with a partial, and you'd be robbed of a vote or a vote would be added. This is what makes it exactly work perfectly, and they do it on a precinct level, and we can see how it was built into the system. Basically, what I'm saying is these machines were built to steal, and we found the back door, and we found the program that makes it work, and we know it's in most of all the machines.
Well, we kind of knew this has been, we know. It's always been, how do you stop it? How big a thing do you got? What is the solution? How are you going to, John Brakey was that guy. You know, my whole thing was, I needed to prove to myself that I knew it was all BS, that I knew they were lying, that I knew they were cheating, that I knew. Once I knew, I'm good. Ernie, aren't you going to go fix it? Why? I don't care. You know, it's a lie. It's a lie. Well, John Brakey is like, man, no more lies. I'm covering the secrets, exposing the lies, and then fixing it. So,
thanks to people like you helping us do this.
It's been my pleasure. Good job, John Brakey. Thank you very much for keeping on this. And I took it up to where they're lying and going and fixing it. That was a whole nother somebody else I got. Everybody's, but Ernie, are we going to go? And I go, no, that's decades of a whole nother thing. John Brakey's taking it on. Good job, man. All right, send me something and get me this movie thing, whatever, and let's keep on me. Now's the time.
Faction Magic, a short video will be out that will demonstrate how it works. It'll blow your mind, Ernie.
I am, I'd like to have my mind blown before the election instead of after.
That's what we're trying to do. But, I'm very heartened by all of this because, when I first met you, they always, up to the last 11 years, they say voter fraud, voter fraud. And you can't fix it unless you name it the right name.
Election fraud.
Calling it election fraud.
Now, that was John's thing to me, man. It's not voter fraud. It's election. I go, yeah, you're right. Okay, because they'll make such a big, oh, my God, they're shipping around buses of illegal immigrants to precinct. And I'm going, that is such a small, inconsequential distraction of what's really going on. They already know before they even had the first mail out. It's done. They were planning the winner of the next election, this election. They just need to fill in what name you want. It's so ridiculous. And when you start uncovering the one thing I say, I want to make sure I got this right. You have one of the big things that the election fraud is so associated with the name Diebold or Diebold or whatever that they just that, we don't use that machine anymore. And it's the same thing with another name. It's like Blackwater being, Academy or something. What happened was they had competing companies and they go, we'll go with these guys. ES&S and Diebold, weren't they run by brothers?
No, that was Sequoia and ES&S bought the same machinery. Yeah, and they were run by brothers.
Okay, so Diebold was a separate thing. It was ES&S and Sequoia, which was another
Diebold
one.
Diebold was originally Global Gems, but founded by this guy who got out of prison for stock fraud and a dope dealer. It was an incredible story.
Yeah, that was Bev Harris, Black Box Voting. Yeah. Thing yeah. They went through. See, Bev Harris did a black box voting. She was, I remember what it was. It was in the election software. That company that did that got bought up as part of that division by a parent company. Another company bought all everything.
Diebold,
and they had all the GEM software. Is that what's called GEMs or something?
So that's right. Election Management System. That's what it's called. GEMS.
Really? Is that what GEMS stands for? Okay. Yep. So GEMS, this election global election software, they were had the file still on accessible via the web. And Bev Harris just, went through and kind of looked through the corporate, kind of was open and boom, there it is. Oh, my God, that whole thing is
downloaded everything for 3 days.
Download. Then had guys look at it in forensic. They could see how they stole the elections.
And you know what she missed, which is really incredible, is that before Diebold bought them, they had to build into the system magic fraction. Fractionalized voting, and they said it's because, we might need it for a race that's weighted. And what that basically means is you're running a water district. I have 100 acres of land, and you have 33 and a third. They wanted to be able to cast a vote by that kind of a standard, which never happened. It's a lie.
Yeah, because SRP here is a Salt River project. You get to vote like their own municipality on water and power or something, and they have elections. And to do that election, you vote by how much acreage you have. And if you got a partial person, like two-thirds of a person census, black person in the Constitution kind of crap, then you need to have, you know, some way to, you know, cast that with a program. Okay, now I just got a note from Donna here. Bev Harris is on the show next Thursday.
Very good. I'll be listening.
Well, she's going to be on with Trump Report with Frank. We're going to... Oh, we're not doing that. Okay, well then, Bev Harris, we need to have John Brakey come on with Bev Harris. You want to come on with Bev?
Absolutely.
Boom! We'll do it. And then see if we can make it a two-hour, and you got somebody for the second hour? That's already full? All right.
Me and Bev are extremely excited about the fact that we're working so close together, like brother and sister, practically.
Okay, but I want to...
The work I do is complementing her work.
Okay, I only got 1 hour with her, so I you know, it may... You just kind of co-host with me and fill in, but I...
Or maybe take me and schedule me in after her, and I'll listen in. And
well, no, that's the thing. The second, third hour already filled up. Donna's already got it filled.
Whatever you decide.
Well, just come. I want you to come on, but you just got to be semi. I turned you off and quiet, and you're there for a reference of whatever. All right,
I agree.
All right, let's do that, Donna. And you know, John will know that. You know, he and I both got to be quiet, so she actually gets some time to talk. So.
Please.
This is well. We'll go ahead. We'll do that because we're getting close to the election, and because Bev's been. You know, just because she exposed this, she's like, look, I mean, black box voting was a documentary done by HBO. And when it's called The Hacking Democracy or something, that movie, I made a bunch of copies on my just a DVD. Ooh, I got a DVD writer. Man, this is back in 2004 when I was running against McCain. I made 50, one at a time. 50 of them, every speaking, which are plenty of speaking events that I went to, hundreds of those that I was passing out. Now we got the big duplicators, so I can do a bunch. But I would make these. I just sit there all day and just keep putting in new CDs. I'm doing whatever. And then I would take those and give these DVDs out to people. I said, you just watch this, and then you'll understand my concern. Now let's talk about whatever. So I wouldn't spend all this time on the election. They go watch that later. And this kind of infection for years has been... doing this. Now was about the time that you started. Weren't you the 02 or 04 election?
04. I was tuned in, but 04 is when I sat on a curb and said, oh my God, my life has changed. I know I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life, and I am.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Pit bull for democracy.
I'm sorry?
I'm a pit bull for democracy.
All right. Well, just assuming that I think democracy is going to save me, but I tell you, you know, this, oh... All right, man. Cool. I got to get to the next guest. Look forward to talking to you next Thursday.
You bet. Thank you.
Peace. Bye.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember... I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
So many, you know what we need? We just talked John Brakey, election fraud, and kind of we've been covering for a long time, and it's really getting pretty obvious. And now we got Scott Horton on. I just want to ask him, do we need Russia and Putin to come observe our elections?
Well, you know, there's I think the stealing of the elections is usually that stuff is overblown as far as. The computer hacking and all that, like some of that is possible, but
I say it's inevitable. If they can, they are. And I know for a fact from personal experience, it is terrible. What say you?
Well, Yes, I agree with you that, you know, somebody's little brother could hack in and change the vote count. But the thing is there's so many separate precincts and separate states and separate systems, I think it'd be difficult for anybody to really rig it.
They stole Ohio.
They didn't steal the whole election
in
2004. It was just Ohio.
I'll give you an example. Here we have 15 counties. 11 of them have this new optical scanning that they can do and audit later and whatever, except Maricopa, which is 66% of the ballots in Arizona anyway, and I know they're corrupt sons of bitches. Why do you think I've run for Secretary of State and County Recorder like 4 times? Okay, I know. I don't think I know, Scott. I know. Next subject.
Well, remember when Watts voted 100% for Bush? There's obviously something going on there. But, you know, here's the thing that nobody ever really talks about, or not nearly enough. And that is Greg Palast's work and his angle on all this is all about people being excluded from the voter rolls before they have a chance to even show up to try to vote. And the scam this year, which he's been reporting on, is about they've got this company. You know, before they said, oh, all these people are felons. If your name is Johnson, then you must be a felon, just remove people from the voter rolls like that. Well, in this case, they're going for double names. And they're saying anybody who's named Joe Johnson or whatever, you know, Robert Jackson or some kind of like very easy John Smith type of a name. If there's a John Smith in Texas and a John Smith in Arizona, then they're both canceled. Or at least if your state or my state, you know, subscribes to this quote unquote service, then both John Smiths get their vote canceled and get kicked off the voter rolls under the pretense that it's one person trying to be registered to vote in two states. And it doesn't matter whether the middle names don't match. It doesn't matter, you know, all the obvious objections that you would think of, because the point is to get rid of people with black person sounding names. In other words, people who are named after the, you know, with last names of the founding fathers, right? Jefferson and Jackson and Johnson and all those guys, they get kicked. Well, Johnson wasn't a founding father, but you know what I mean? Yeah. They get kicked off the voter rolls.
These are distractions. In my opinion, these have all been distractions. See, as long as we can stop
I'm
that.
I'm not so sure it's a distraction when you're talking about tens of thousands of people being disallowed to vote.
I'm talking about every single freaking electronic voter push a button if I just and it's decided. That is all just BS when I got it already decided on some computer program that you're not allowed to look at. You know, so I did that distraction.
Well, kind of, but look, the computer program, Ernie, isn't it right that they can really only steal an election with a computer program if it's within a couple of points, right? They can't steal.
No,
they're not going to give
it is, wait, exactly
Texas to Hillary Clinton and pretend that she won it by 10 points because we know it was a lie.
Whatever
right?
they want it to be. See, they don't have to. This is all right. We can talk about the POTUS race.
Answer what I just said. They're not going to steal Texas and say that Hillary won it by 10 points because we would know that that is fraud and
believe
it.
I'm answering your question.
Close enough to steal, right?
I'm answering your question. Why is it always, every single election that's the most important in your lifetime, every election, it's down to right now, it's Hillary and Trump, it's 49-51. They're tightening up. It's close. It could be anybody's race. It's not you. Yeah, you know better, but your neighbors are stupid.
It's not
like that.
You
don't think
it's
your neighbors are stupid. Then it's just the whole system is crap. You don't know because it's 50-50.
Wait, Ernie, Obama was ahead of Mitt Romney by, 7 or 10 points or something in the polls in 2012. He was ahead of John McCain by or 10 points.
Which
and
poll?
It was clear he was going to
which
win.
Poll?
He was able to tell his dying grandma that, don't worry, grandma, I'm definitely going to win in 2 days.
Yeah,
it's 100% locked now.
Yeah, which poll? You know, see, this is it's all crap. I can sit there and go back and forth and back and forth, don't care. I just talk about war. Because somebody's gonna be in charge of the football and regardless anyway.
Well, look, as we all know, most of the states don't flip. Most of the congressional districts are completely gerrymandered to hell, where the Republican or the Democrat has a 5 or 10 or even more point advantage over his opponent.
You're talking numbers of bullshit. Huh? It doesn't mean anything to me because they say in some poll, and this guy, I've gone through the polling. You talk to the sales department at Gallup, and they'll say, how do you want it to come out? We got different demographics, a different list to go through, how we do the questions, whatever. What do you want? We got you pay us enough money, you get the poll you want. You know, that's the way it works. Oh, no, it's a Time NBC poll. Oh, well, hell. Well, then it ought to be true then. That means nothing to me. None of that means nothing to me. You don't
should
have
mean something to you
nothing,
when they have, you know, that real clear politics
thing.
Where they have the average of 10 different polls.
Don't mean
and this
nothing.
Kind of thing.
Don't mean a god dang thing to me, man. Nothing. Until I can audit the actual paper ballot, which is what we were talking about in the previous hour, and they're doing a temporary restraining order now, and the courts are doing kind of whatever. It's always Arizona, man. It's always Arizona. Why? Because we inspired in the 90s lobby. It's always Arizona. Watch, it's going to be Arizona. It's Arizona. Okay? Watch, election, fraud, Arizona, Arizona, next issue. Man, you're not going to win this one with me, man. There it is, corrupt as hell at the core. And I can go all day about it.
Well, I'm not arguing that. I was just making a different point about how corrupt it is. The way the Republicans hire these groups to kick all people with poor and Mexican and black sounding names off the rolls. Because those kind of people tend to vote Democrat.
Hell, they just increased the percentage to get on the ballot for libertarians 3,000%. And it was just libertarians because they're I kid you not, they called it a mature third party where the Greens, you know, they had to get like 30 signatures or something to get on, and libertarians had to get 3,000 or 4,000. So I'm going, wait. Well, you're a mature third party. These aren't mature. So it doesn't apply as just for libertarians this election, just libertarians. And I'm going,
that's a nice little loophole.
Because they can. So we go at it a whole different way. We're doing the election thing, helping with the fraud and the water guy. You guys want to play? Let's play. So this
Know, I don't vote at all. I mean, I think the whole thing is completely ridiculous. I mean, voting for me isn't even really a matter. I mean, I guess if you're voting yes or no on a local bond issue or something, maybe that counts as a vote.
Nope.
But to me, mostly voting is a ceremonial thing, right? Where you pretend that you get to participate in the state government and that it has anything to do with your will.
It's the altar of the state. It's worshiping the state. It's going to the altar.
Yeah, it's like eating the cracker and pretending it's Jesus.
Exactly. So this is, I'm like, oh, hell no. But, you know, I'm like, you want to play this game? All right, we'll play it. So I've been helping, whatever. All right, so let's get into, you know, why we got Scott Horton on here, not to argue with me about how corrupt the elections are, which they are, I thus saith, and I'd love to talk to them all about. But the where are we at now? Are we going to, the Russians are now with recalling all of their diplomats' kids and everything, and we're getting, and they're doing play. And then I see, oh, they're painting F-18s to look like, you know, Russian jets, and they go, oh, we just do that for war games. I go, what, they can see it? You know, I mean, I'm sending a missile. I can see the little red star on it or something. What the hell are you talking about? So I'm just, you know, I'm feeling the prep. This is like we're getting a firsthand, behind-the-scenes, play-by-play look of how World War III started. And I'm going, yeah. We'll talk about more. Scott Horton, when we come back in just a little bit. Enthour Radio.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the years has already happened.
Okay, you ready to go on the Russia freaking Third World War whatever carry peace crap? Scott?
Sorry, my mic was off. Yeah.
All right. So this is, you know, get me the countdown to WW3, man.
Nah, I don't think so. But it is pretty dangerous and bad. I mean, hell, there's a double-digit chance of that, I guess, at least. So, yeah, bad enough.
Well, I mean, you know, Russia, okay, this is one thing. We were in line at a movie last night, me and Keith, Tarzan Keith. We were in the line, and the woman behind us was from Finland, and we were just yakking it, you know, with her. She's probably, I don't know, mid-30s or something like that. And there was, yeah, it was a sneak preview of Ghost in the Machine with Scarlett Johansson. And we didn't get in. We were there too late. Plus, we're old. If we were young, they grabbed us. But so we went and saw Snowden or something. But the again. But the thing is that we're talking to her in line, and she's, I go, well, Finland, you worried about Russia? You know, what's it? Yeah, you know, it's kind of, usually we just kind of ignore, but we don't prepare for anything, because when they come and they just roll over and we're done anyway. But they've been harassing at the border. They're flying into our airspace. They're doing, they're kind of, you know, big presence and troops on the border and kind of the border. I go, for real, or for they tell you, or for propaganda, or for, so I don't know. Maybe you can help me with that too, what their, you know, positioning is on, you know, in Europe. All right, here we go.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Make sure that we talk about is what's Russia really? We were in line yesterday with last night. We're going to a movie, Tarzan, Keith Nye, and it was a woman from Finland. She's in her mid-30s, and she's like, yeah, Russia's always been a thing, but her family and friends are saying that, oh, there's lots of news and propaganda going up, or it's real, or what, I don't know. Let's ask Scott, that Russia's starting to shore up their borders with every country and getting some militarization of planes flying over in neutral zone of border and Romulans versus Federation or something. You know, help me out, Scott. What's going on?
Well, you know what I'm going to say, man. NATO expansion. That's America's military alliance that was created supposedly to defend Western democracy from Soviet communism after World War II. Is the expansion of the NATO project into Eastern Europe and up to Russia's borders is the root of all evil in Eastern Europe and is the most foolish and dangerous policy on the face of the planet. And I think, as stupid and crazy as it sounds, I think in the minds of the American mandarins who have done this to us, mostly this is just politics and business, and NATO itself to them is sort of a big country club where they get to go and have drinks with other mucky mucks from other countries. And it, they think of this, if you go back and read the academics who proposed and promoted all this in the 1990s, they sort of talk about NATO like it's just a natural partner of the expansion of the European Union and Western democracy, and it's a great way to make sure to keep America in. That's what they say about NATO. It's to keep the Yanks in, the Germans down, and the Russians out, right? Well, it's has nothing to do with keeping the Russians out. It's keeping the Yanks in deeper and deeper and deeper, so that now not only Poland, but the Baltic states of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia have been brought into NATO, some of the Balkans, and there's been repeated talk of bringing in Georgia, former Soviet Georgia, which, get this, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, right? And we're talking about bringing in Georgia, which is stuck in the Caucasus Mountains between the Black and the Caspian Sea. And is right, you know, Russia's soft underbelly there, as they would put it. And then Ukraine, which is, you know, like Homer says, Canada is America Junior. Ukraine is Russia Junior. Russian Slavic civilization really was born in Kiev. And it has been part of the same civilization for, I don't know, 1,000 years or two, or whatever it is.
What was Kiev called before? Didn't they have another name for the city that you may know better from history?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, don't look that up. You know, history, Kiev, name, something, wiki, whatever.
You know, on your risk board, it's the Ukraine. because it's a region. It's never been an independent state until 1991. It was always dominated by a Polish king or, you know, the Romans or the Russians or whoever, somebody. It was the Ukraine. It's only been a nation state since the fall of the Soviet Union. And for the Americans, and you can read Zbigniew Brzezinski in the Grand Chessboard in 1997, he says the reason to take Crimea from Russia, and especially or the reason to take Ukraine from Russia, and especially the Crimean Peninsula with their Sevastopol naval base, is if Russia has Ukraine and Crimea, then it's a world power. If it doesn't have Ukraine and Crimea, then it's a regional power. And so if, since this is the era of full spectrum dominance and full primacy and preeminence and, yeah, empire, American empire, then that's their goal. It's not so much that we need Crimea, it's that we want to take it away from the Russians. And that's what they tried to do. They did two coup d'etats in Ukraine in 10 years, in 2004 and then in 2014. The first one was the Orange Revolution. Remember that? The color-coded revolution in 04?
Yeah, there's always a color.
And then they did it again late February of 2014. And it was at that point that the Russians seized the Crimean Peninsula. They didn't invade it. They were already there, leasing the naval bases there. And no, it was not all accordance to the international law and this and that. On the other hand, Crimea really has belonged to Russia since the days of the Articles of Confederation in the 1780s, before the Constitution was even written in our country. And they had stolen it from the Tartars back then, or the Tatars back then. The communist dictator Khrushchev in the 1950s, I think 1954, was drunk one night, and he was from Ukraine originally, and he gifted Crimea to Ukraine, you know, for no other reason than his own personal reasons. But it didn't matter. It didn't make any difference, because everybody was answerable only to the Kremlin anyway under the USSR. And so it only, quote unquote, belonged to Ukraine, but it didn't really make a difference. And then when the Soviet Union fell apart, Crimea went to Ukraine instead of going to Russia. And I would remind you that the Russians were perfectly happy with the status quo, leasing a base there, and everything was fine. It was American provocations, repeated threats to bring Ukraine into NATO, and then two coup d'etats against the same guy. The first time the pro-Russia leaning candidate, the second time he was actually the president, Yanukovych. And it was only then that the Russians said, all right, that's it. We are not losing the Crimean Peninsula to the Americans here. And Putin even gave a speech where he said, oh, we love NATO. We love our friends in NATO. And we would love to visit our friends in NATO. But, you know, we thought about it and we thought, we don't want to go to Crimea to visit them. How about they come and visit us in Crimea? We would like that better. You know, being kind of coy about it, but just saying there's no way in hell that they're going to tolerate that kind of thing. And now what you're supposed to do is scream and cry and accuse and point fingers and say Russian aggression, Russian aggression, Russian aggression. And you're just supposed to not know or care at all that, of course, America started it. The Soviet Union fell apart. The Russians have this, you know, basically rump state, what's left. They have the gross domestic product of the Netherlands, of Manhattan Island. Okay, we spend, I don't know, 10 or 20 or some ungodly tens of times the amount of money on militarism than they spend. We start wars and do color revolutions all around the world. Not them. Everything they've done in Ukraine, everything that they've done in Syria, and everything they've done, and I mean besides saving Obama's ass with the chemical weapons deal of 2013. But all the rest of it, and even the exercises on Finland's border and whatever, all of this is in reaction to NATO exercises on Russia's border.
Okay, we're going to come back. I want to talk about what's going on with Syria and Aleppo, and some they're releasing or letting you escape. ISIS, you can go here as long as you go attack the Russians over there, and we'll do and help. And kind of, there's something going. It's all chessboard moving around that war. Distraction. Something. Why? Okay. Yeah. Why? This is it election season chest pounding? Is there something else that we want out of regime change in Syria? We're willing to go head to head with Russia's got some like goodies, and we're what? I don't understand what the end game is.
Yeah. Well, you want me to tell you now or during the live segment?
I want to, of course, during the live segment, but I wanted to kind of get a beat on it so I can start pulling up graphics or something. I mean, what is why?
Well, look, your first explanation is, I think, the most obvious and correct one, that it's politics. That, you know, this is a way that Trump uses to differentiate himself from Hillary, although he's getting worse and worse at it. And this is the way that Hillary can talk tough. I mean, the Obama years have proven that liberals will just fall in line and ignore the mass murder of foreigners for the most part. I don't think they'll do it. They'll ignore it for her as much as for him.
You know what would be?
She's clearly made the decision to seek out national security Republicans and to crow about their endorsements. When George Bush Sr. endorsed her, when you know a bunch of these other kind of centrist Republicans and neoconservatives have endorsed her, she's bragged about it every time. Openly sought Henry Kissinger's endorsement. Because those are the Republican votes she wants, the worst warmongers. She wants their confidence so that they will cross the aisle and vote for her. And she's not worried about losing her liberal base, apparently.
Okay. This is...
I mean, there's more to it, but that was my politics of it answer anyway.
Okay. Now think about this. I'm going, as I'm looking at the map of... map area of Turkey, Syria, Ukraine, Black Sea, Caspian. You get, right the Middle East and where it interfaces with Ukraine, Turkey, going into Europe and Russia and all that kind of stuff. If I look at this area, I'm going, wow, what's the population there? They're only talking, like 1,000 by 1,000 mile area. This is like America's Southwest. I mean, that's all we're dealing with here. The eastern part of the Mediterranean. It's amazing how much history is done here. Why? Well,
it's the crossroads of three continents.
Exactly. So I go, what is the population? Is there a tool that allows me, I can just put a radius on there and just look at it and go draw a map and it tell me what the population is in whatever I include in the map? And they go, why, yes, there is. And I go, really? So I'm sitting here playing with this now.
That sounds interesting, man.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, it's population inside an area search map. Okay? And it's freemaptools.com, find population. Anyway, population map tool. Put that in a search. And I haven't got, and I don't have time to get all into it. I'll explain it when we come back. Because it's interesting to me that you're talking about... Yeah, and the first mushroom clouds is going to kill how many people, and how densely populated is this area or that area or something. Because like in Syria, there's nobody out in most of the desert of anything. And you look at drone footage of Aleppo, and I'm going, holy crap, that was a city,
It's horrifying, man.
And they just, I don't care who did it. That is just bullshit.
I agree with you totally.
And then this area here, this is a new tool. I'm going to play with that. All right, we're coming back.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, Mr. Scott Horton, Anti-War Radio's helping us out. There's a tool. I was thinking, it's interesting that you look at the map here I have on the video. and you got, you know, on the bottom part of the screen, it's a computer screen, and on the bottom you'll have Eastern Mediterranean, and it goes, you know, Israel and Lebanon and Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Iran. It just goes east. Then going north, you got Azerbaijan and Armenia and Georgia, Russia. On, you know, kind of go, you know, upper left, a little bit further out, you got Turkey. And then you get the Black Sea. Istanbul is a strait, an opening that goes from the Mediterranean into the Black Sea. Russia's got a lot of their fleet, and they go in and out and kind of do whatever. Then you got the Caspian Sea. It's kind of, you know, locked in, big giant lake, you know. I don't even know if Caspian Sea is salt or not. But anyway, you have the, and Tehran is right on the bottom of that. You got Ukraine on the north of the Black Sea. In the Black Sea, you got Crimea, which is a lot of the bases for the Russians and all that. So this area right here, this area is, Scott's telling us in the break, is important because why? It's what? A junction of what?
Well, I mean, it's always been. It's the crossroads of three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. And, you know, for that matter, you know, the Middle East, you know, is sort of a little subcontinent of its own in a way. So, yeah, I mean, this is
a lot of history.
The history of mankind is we came out of Africa.
Okay, now this is the one thing that is on
the Sinai Peninsula into the rest of the world and been going back and forth ever since.
Okay, now this is the one thing. I went and I'm going, is there a tool, a map area, I can draw a cursor around, a, you know, kind of just square off or make a radius or something over an area and just know the population of what I highlighted? Yeah, there's a couple of them up here. I didn't got to play with yet. But you just put map area equals population or something like that, and it'll pop up, and you can start playing with that. So I'm looking at a lot of these countries are just open desert or nothing, but you start to get into from Syria, you go to the desert, and it starts dense, getting more dense as you get to Aleppo. And Aleppo starts to get in, you're kind of right into that bridge going into the Turkey and Europe. Kind of. So I can see Aleppo is an area of something with the rivers that come and water, and kind of, somebody's got to get them some Aleppo. And I'm like, oh, it's a geographical thing. And I'm going, why else Aleppo? Why Aleppo? Why was Aleppo in there getting bombed? Because you look at, I saw just last couple of days, drone footage. Somebody had a drone. They just get their little, you know, $1,000 drone, and they flew over Aleppo, totally destroyed. This is concrete and steel, high rise. Well, you know, at least 6, 7, 8 story buildings, all resident people. Just, it was a thriving city of rubble. It looked like Gaza, okay? So I'm going, who the hell did that and why?
Hmm. Well, you know, yeah, there's a lot to it. As far as your little geography lesson there, importantly, and I only figured this out late in life, honestly, Ernie, geopolitics doesn't mean, people overuse the term to the point of meaninglessness, and it just sounds like wannabe smart guy talk for international politics. But no, it's really short for geographical politics. And so it's all about understanding the importance of which sea is where, and which isthmus, and which strait, and which deep water, warm water port is available at what time and to which empires. And that's what we're fighting about here. Who's going to dominate what the old British and now American imperialists called the world island, Eurasia? Is it going to be the Eurasians, or is it going to be the middle part of North America? And that's our challenge, is to be the middle part of North America and yet rule all of the old world. And so that's what, everything that's going on here, the terrorism war against the United States, the Russian pushback, and all of this stuff is reaction to American empire. And they don't call it that. They call it primacy, or they call it the liberal rules based world order, or they call it whatever they want. But that's what it is. It's the doctrine as leaked way back in 1992 that America will be the military master of the planet Earth, and no other nation or even group of nations would ever even think about trying to challenge our might, because we'll bomb them before they get anywhere close. That's how far ahead of everyone else we will be, and how far ahead of everyone else we will stay. And so that we will dominate the entire planet Earth forever from Washington, D.C. That's the doctrine.
Okay, now this is...
All of the rest of what we're talking about falls under that. So what's going on in Syria is the Syrian government is an ally of Iran and Russia. And since George W. Bush's war in Iraq gave two-thirds of Iraq to Iran, oops, this is their consolation prize. They're settling for trying to overthrow Bashar al-Assad, Iran's last Arab allied state, the Baathist government in Damascus.
Okay, what I'm doing right now is you're talking geopolitics. I give an idea. I put down on the bottom right bar the legend, you know, 10 mile equals 1 inch or something on my screen. And I'm looking at Aleppo, and I'm going, okay, I see the road system here as it all centers on Aleppo. I mean, Aleppo is the center of the northern Syrian of the, you're getting into, I mean, it is, you know, the fields of, it's a metropolis. And I'm going, I know this. This looks like Atlanta. And I pull up Atlanta, it's almost identical. You know, I'm going, wait a minute. So the road system is, you would imagine if you've driven through Atlanta, you go to Atlanta, and it's just like, you know, God, was it Atlanta during the Civil War and the Gone with the Wind of it laid waste of the kind of Atlanta? And I'm looking at Atlanta here, and I, you know, just toggle back and forth between Aleppo and Atlanta. I'm going, man, it's the picture northern Syria. You might as well just say Atlanta. And the surrounding area and the road system that's going into it and the water and all that. I'm going, this is, I'm sure it's a lot drier in Syria, but, you know, I'm going, and it's not getting enough attention. It's Aleppo equals Russia doing something bad equals Assad doing something bad, something, but they don't even equate, and you never even see how many people are being laid waste to in their homes. And if you look at Aleppo drone coverage of the humanitarian destruction, and you look at Yemen, what's going on there, and the people are starving there. We're losing our humanity, and we're not looking at this as people. It's just geopolitics of which river, right, crossroad, highway, oil pipeline.
Right, and then they want to exploit your humanity and say, oh, Ernie, you care? Well, then you have to support war. We have to, I swear to God, dude, you can go back and check my feed. I got in an argument with a guy from Amnesty International saying, I'm a hypocrite because I don't support war against Syria, which means I de facto do support Assad and Russia's war in Syria, right? Get it? The de facto state is America's constant war against all forever. And at any time that you don't want to start a war, then that means you are a warmonger for the other side. Because any war that America is fighting is obviously, clearly, only being waged in order to end the war and save the people. And so, literally, this guy is saying, I'm a warmonger for being against war against Syria, and he is the peacenik for being for war against Syria, because if you care about the poor people of Aleppo, then Uncle Sam must go over there and save the day, as though Uncle Sam ain't already over there bombing people to death himself, right? And this is where, and we've talked about Syria many times before, we have U.S. Special Forces, military, DOD, embedded with the Syrian Kurds fighting against the Islamic State, the worst version of an Al-Qaeda breakoff group you could have ever had a nightmare about, that rose up in 2014 and broke off from Al-Qaeda really a year before and created their caliphate in 2014, right? Then our side, the CIA, backs the Al-Qaeda rebels that ISIS broke off from. And that's who Assad is bombing in Aleppo, along with a lot of civilians as well, as you point out.
Okay, now who are they wanting to... we're going to give you safe passage out of this city if you leave to go fight the Russians or something. What's up with that?
I'd have to know more specifically what you mean. Tried to create so-called corridors here and there from time to time, but I need to know specifically what you mean.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
Okay, what it says here, let's see, the Sun, America plotting to allow 9,000 ISIS fighters to escape terror capital Mosul so they can attack Russian troops, Moscow outrageously claims.
Well, what's that link in? I mean, the first part of that is right, that and I have a guy, Joe Loria, who's reporting out of Erbil in Iraqi Kurdistan now.
All right, well, let's talk about it. We're coming back.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, well, we left off, there was a story, when was this? This is recently, October 13th, so that's yesterday. Secret terror deal. America plotting to allow 9,000 ISIS fighters to escape terror capital Mosul so they can attack Russian troops, Moscow outrageously claims. Now, Mosul is...
what are you reading there?
This is from The Sun in the United Kingdom.
Okay, wow.
But, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's
you
a pretty right-wing tabloid, I think. I think.
Be given safe passage out of Iraq to fight in Syria. See,
that part is right. That part is right.
Okay, now Mosul is where? Mosul is west of Baghdad or something, right?
Mosul is way up in northwest Iraq.
So it's close to Syria.
Yeah, this is... So in 2014... when the Islamic State crossed the border, really erased the border between Syria and Iraq and declared their caliphate, this was the big move. They rolled in and sacked Fallujah. I mean, no, they had already taken Fallujah. They rolled in and sacked Mosul and drove the Iraqi army out. And then Baghdadi, the so-called caliph, got up on the balcony and gave his big speech and declared the caliphate. So... you know, and you can actually tell, you know what, I'll give a little bit of credit to that headline. I mean, it's a little bit, I mean, they're saying it's outrageous. It's actually a little bit true there that, first of all, the facts are, yes, they have apparently, there are reports they have a deal with the Saudis that they brokered a deal to make this happen. I don't know exactly how it happened, if those reports are true, but they apparently have allowed the Islamic State to desert Mosul and to flee back to Raqqa. And there's a report in Rudaw, RUDAW.net, which is a fairly reliable publication out of Iraqi Kurdistan. And also, I got my guy, Joe Loria, is in Kurdistan, and he's been hearing for a couple of weeks now that the Islamic State fighters had deserted the streets of Mosul, and nobody knew quite where they'd gone, whether they were, you know, preparing, you know, changing from cops back into soldiers and getting prepared for the final assault, or whether they were fleeing the city to go back to Syria or what. And
okay,
so, yeah, now apparently they have arrived in Raqqa. 10 buses and 35 SUVs with Iraqi plates arrived in Raqqa full of Islamic State fighters, according to this thing. Now,
where's Raqqa?
Raqqa is in eastern Syria. That's the true capital of the Islamic State at this point. And, there's two ways to look at this. The more innocent way to look at it is that they have a plan, which is to defeat the Islamic State in Iraq first, or at least make that their higher priority. So they've worked with the Iraqi Shiite government to kick the Islamic State out of Fallujah, out of Tikrit, out of Ramadi, out of Samarra, and they've been steadily moving toward, you know, and preparing for the final assault on Mosul. And so there's been a big question of whether the Islamic State is going to stay and fight for Mosul or whether they're going to run. And now the part where it gets a little suspicious is, geez, once they're way out there in the desert on the run toward Raqqa, how come we're not bombing them then? And
okay.
That's where the more cynical interpretation gets, you know, raised is, well, maybe the Islamic State really, in America's eyes, aren't that bad as long as it's Assad that they're fighting.
Okay, now this is one thing I want the audience to understand. I got, for those that are watching the video, it's a lot easier to see, but let me describe what I got up here. Here I have Mosul. Imagine Phoenix, okay? Mosul's in northern Iraq, up next to... Syria is to the west, and to the north is whatever. Turkey to the east is Iran. So they're right up there. Syria, Turkey, Iran, up Mosul. They're in the middle of everybody getting in trouble. So that seems like it's also Mosul. Is that part of Kurdistan, or the Kurds have a lot of?
No. That's west of Kurdistan.
Okay, so we're west of Kurdistan. So here we have Mosul. Imagine Phoenix. Aleppo.
And south, west and south, I should say, of Kurdistan.
Okay, so here we have Aleppo is about 350 miles to the west, and Aleppo is about 50 miles from the Mediterranean, the ocean, but it's in a hub. It's got a lot of roads going in there, like Atlanta. So I go, okay, Mosul, 350 miles to the west is Aleppo. They're going, we're going to let you leave Mosul. So, yeah, you can go fight Russia and go to Syria and get, and we're going to let you go over there because we want you to go over there for whatever reason they want them to go over there. Now, Raqqa is right here. This is about east of the Sierra Nevadas. It's kind of like the border of Arizona. It's 200 miles. You know, it's about two-thirds of the way to Aleppo. Mosul, it's a freaking morning drive to Raqqa. And then, you know, like an hour away, Aleppo. So this whole thing is, they're saying, we're going to let you escape Mosul. You know, we got, you know, 9,000 SUVs and buses, and, you know, we're just going to let you move. Yeah, don't worry about the A-10s or nothing. It's all good. Go ahead and go west, young man, and go to Raqqa so that you can be in the middle of Syria. We can use you for something there. And Russia goes, does this seem weird to anybody? And I raise my hand, I go, yes, it does.
Uh-huh. Hey, I'm with you, man. I mean, look, when the U.S., quote-unquote, accidentally, and I think it may have been accident, I really am not taking a stand on that, but when the U.S. supposedly accidentally bombed the Syrian army position 2 weeks ago, they were in the middle of a battle with the Islamic State. And the Islamic State ended up seizing that military base for about a day before reinforcements came from the Syrian army and ran them off again. And, you know, maybe that was an accident, but it does go to show where the Islamic State is right now. You know, they are not just in the east. They're in some places fighting in western portions, or, you know, not the far west of Syria, but at least, you know, Deir ez-Zor or whatever that is pretty far from Raqqa.
No, and I'm feeling right now, I can see what's going to happen. Here we have, it's just guys with guns and wearing black hoods and cutting off heads and stuff. And they go, you know what? We don't need you here anymore. We got some excuse. We need you over in Raqqa. We need you to get involved in Aleppo. We need you in northern Syria.
Hey,
we're going to let
how
you
ISIS
go.
Came about in the first place, Ernie. Look, man, and this is the same thing that's been going on since 2011. You know, I just mentioned to you that the ISIS broke off from Al-Qaeda in 2013, declared their caliphate in 2014. Well, that's recent history. But the war in Syria has been going on since 2011. And, you know, the whole time, the U.S. has been on the side of the terrorists, has been on the side of the al-Nusra Front, which is nothing but Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Okay, now I tell you what I can see is coming. The Russians are like, yeah, go ahead, U.S. You think you can just do an air war? You think you're going to do a no-fly? Yeah, well, we say no-fly. Now bring your punk-ass shit on, and we're going to go kick some butt. They go, damn it, man, that's not going to look good. You know what we need? We need some ISIS. We need some terrorists. We need them to go in and them fight and kind of, you know, bomb them and not. We didn't do it. You know, we just needed to let them go from Mosul and give them safe passage back into Syria, and they'll go after Assad. Now you got them to fight and not us, and don't blame me. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? So this is, I've been sitting here looking at it happen.
You're on it. No, I'm telling you, you're right. Listen, here's Hillary Clinton, and this is for, you know, your audience's sake, too. I know I've played this for you before, Ernie, but here's Hillary Clinton in the beginning of 2012. CBS Newsman says, why aren't we doing more to help the rebels overthrow Assad? And so Hillary, who wanted Obama to do more to overthrow Assad, she's being a good soldier, and she's explaining Obama's position on why he's only making a half-assed effort here.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria? Hamas is now supporting the opposition. Are we supporting Hamas in Syria?
And so what she's saying there, she's not, it's just a figure of speech. I don't want to be too kooky about her, whatever. She's not talking about directly supporting Al-Qaeda. She's just saying, well, geez, if there's a big Sunni revolt against the Assad government and Al-Qaeda is a big part of it, don't we need to be real careful about supporting a revolt that might end up empowering our only real damned enemies on the planet?
Like Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt?
But that was the opposite of her her real position, which to this day is we need to overthrow Assad for Al-Qaeda.
Oh, this is, you have to be Putin looking at this and go, are the American people that stupid? Yes. They're not informed. They're secret.
Yeah, no one ever explains this. And it's such a complicated mess, and no one believed me. You know, no one believed you.
No, I mean, no, I'm sitting here looking at it. America plotting to allow 9,000 ISIS fighters to escape terror capital of Mosul so they can attack Russian troops. Moscow says, well, where attack these Russian troops? Going to northern Syria. They're going to, you know, Raqqa, you know how you say that? You know, the A-R-A-Q-Q-A-H. So they're going west towards Aleppo via northern Syria. Why? We're not going to fight ISIS. We need ISIS to muck up Russia's plans of something. You know, this is, so what does Trump say? Got to bomb the hell out of, got to get ISIS, got to get ISIS. At least somebody's saying it. I'd just as soon leave and not, don't care. It's all uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. ScottHorton.org. There. Boom.
Yeah. Well, you know, Donald Trump is all over the place on this.
He's I know. It's all blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean,
he wants to invade, too. You know, he says it.
But, you know, at least he's saying ISIS. Now it's like the, I want to know
when he says safe zone, that means invading Syria. That means war with the Syrian state.
Of course it is. It's no flies and all this other thing. Putin goes, yeah, I got no fly for you. You know, then we see them painting F-18s, like, you know, your pictures of them painting like Russian planes.
You know what? That's a bunch of hype. That's a bunch of hype. I read a thing about that just last night, actually, where those are old pictures of just U.S. training planes.
I understand, but I got to ask this question. Who the shit cares that I'm doing dogfight simulation with Russian MiG of kind of whatever, and I got to paint them that? What, am I sitting there looking at them? Shit, I'm firing missile over the horizon. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It's always been like this, that they paint up their own planes to look like Russian planes.
Why?
For dogfight training.
Why?
That kind of thing.
Why?
Well, not for use in false flag attacks in Aleppo, dude. Just
no, I'm, why you got what? I'm, just I'm like seeing. I'm close enough that I'm seeing the red star. I say that's bullshit. Bullshit. I call bullshit on that. I don't need U.S. planes painted like Russian so that I can, you know, I'm going by, you know, nose to nose at them.
It doesn't matter.
400
if it's
miles an hour. I'm going to see the red star.
You know,
that's
bullshit. It's an easily checkable fact.
Bullshit.
Whether they
I don't need F-18s painted up like Russians.
Up or not,
don't know? Want it. Don't want it. It's not necessary.
It's also not necessary that America has to paint up their planes as though someone with a camera can't tell if it's an F-18 or a MiG with a photograph, no matter what color it is. As though America needs to pretend to be the Russians to slaughter people in eastern Aleppo. As though the Russians are not already slaughtering people in East Aleppo anyway. What America's doing in East Aleppo is backing Al-Qaeda terrorists. They're not bombing their own Al-Qaeda terrorists just to make Russia look bad. That's just truth or crap.
They paint up
their own F-18s to look like MiGs for training.
They always have. And I say stop, but it's worthless. It's stupid, and it's just one more data point of I don't need that. But the thing is that I'm looking at this whole thing because we had it with Turkey shooting down, you know, Russian fighter jets. We've had it. It's like an instigation of. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Cuban Missile Crisis where Kennedy goes to these fighters and he goes, "Yeah, you're going to go over Cuba, and you are not getting shot." Now, of course, they got shot at, but they wanted that as a reason for, you know, invading and bombing the shit out of Cuba. And Kennedy goes, no, I don't give a crap what happened. You did not get shot at. He comes back, holes all in. Oh, yeah, sparrows. You know, yeah, I ran through a bunch of sparrows. You know, my commander in chief said I ran through sparrows, you know, so little birdies or something. And I'm telling you, they're going to look for an opportunity to create something. And it's coming into the election, or it's going to be right after the election, or whoever's going to be president. And I got the button, the football, well, we got to build it up. And, oh, my God!
We just saw it, man. This is where they bombed the Syrian army position and ruined the John Kerry, Sergey Lavrov peace deal. They had a new ceasefire, and the DOD botched it. I mean, we can't prove that they did it on purpose, but man, it sure looks, and it ain't just me. I mean, Gareth Porter and Phil Giraldi and all these analysts, Eric Margulies, all these people I really respect say, hey, man, this is really suspicious that the DOD is basically insubordinate and has told Obama, forget you and your Secretary of State. We want war, not peace.
So what's Obama's role in this? I mean, is he president or what?
I don't know what
he?
The hell his job is. Playing Tetris?
I break with thee, I break with the government. You're not secede Arizona, man. I'm not.
Hey, I'm a Texan, man. I'm all for independence. The only problem is the biggest military base in America is 100 miles up the road from here. And for a big reason, a big important one.
What, for a hood?
You know, they'll never let us secede again.
Well, which base?
Fort Hood.
Yeah.
It's as big as all of Austin.
Yeah, huge. But it's got a shitload of Texans in there.
Well, yeah, no, that's true, too. And, you know, 100 miles, that's a lot of roadblocks to have to try to cross to get to the Capitol. But they got helicopters, too, man. I don't know.
That's one thing I like about Texas. They've been planning for the secession since the beginning.
Right. Hey, never stopped.
You know, all their grid system, utilities, roads, everything is that. I mean, everything is different. You go to Texas, God, man. The whole side of the highway is an off-ramp.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It's starting to get funky. All right. Oh, real quick. On the POTUS thing, did you watch the debate?
Yeah, afraid so.
I can't just sit there and not just, oh, you kidding me? But it was Trump has to come out with new information and details to educate the people, to have something to talk about at the water fountain. Did you hear what Trump said about, and I learned, went and checked, and oh my God, I didn't know whatever the hell it was. There is no education going. It's just rhetoric of, ouch, quit it, and your husband's a philanderer, and I don't freaking care. All that does is
add
to her. It's
because he doesn't know anything. If he knew something, he would say it. You know?
Won't sit down and listen and got ADD or something or just
he watches TV. He doesn't read. He doesn't even read articles at all. He doesn't even read headlines. He watches TV. That's all he knows is what he learns from TV.
Well, maybe that's his tactic. You know, that the Americans, and that didn't even address the election fraud, you know, that I know be a coming. And so I'm just, we got a plan for the after or something else. I mean, I think, can we hurry up and get the police state so we can leave kind of deal? And I'm seeing that there's a lot of technology and opportunities that humanity, it's a generational thing, not a geographical thing of we're over, not you, and everybody under 40 is bite me. But that's not who they're playing this to. Because I'm wondering what the percentage is demographically of voters in America, you know, primarily older, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know how many millennials are like, bite me, I'm screw the whole thing. But it's going to be, you know what? Scott Horton and Ernest Hancock will have plenty to talk about for a long time.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
All right, man, I got to get my next. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you, bud. Bye.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! We are not afraid!
yeah. No fear, damn it. But, man, that's, you know, why? Because we understand it more than most. You know, if you understand something, it's really not to be afraid. It's like, all right, it's the dark. I'm in the dark. Oh, my God, I'm in the dark. I got my infrared helmet kind of, and I can see in the dark. I see, okay, it's, you know, the monster's over there. Bang, I win. You know, I mean, whatever, you know. As long as you can see, you understand, uncover the secrets, exposing the lies. You know, uncover the secrets, exposing the lies. That, your whole life, if it was that, just knowing what the hell's really going on, and quit just repeating whatever the 3x5 card bullet point of, you know, some talking head of whatever somebody said about to go look your damn self. And that's why journalists like, you know, like James Corbett, you know, Corbett Report, you know, these guys, they went out and, that, you know, this is how it happened. I remember him giving a TED Talk. And he comes on Wednesdays, you know, probably every Wednesday between now and the election. You know, I'm just like, man, we can't get enough James, you know, world view or something. And he moved to Japan. He gets high-speed internet. And we'll get to our next guest at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to tell you who that is. Joe Miller, he is calling in the studio. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate in Alaska as a Libertarian. The last election cycle, the way I remember this story, it was a while since I looked at it, I was like, get this guy on, man. Are you kidding me? He was running in the Republican primary against the incumbent U.S. senator. Beats her in the primary. Here in Arizona, they have what they call a sore loser law or something. You can't lose in this primary for one party and then run as another one or something. Well, some states don't have that. Well, in Alaska, if you lose, you can run as again. So what she did is she lost a primary, an incumbent U.S. senator. Hell no. Now, I remember this happened to Joe Lieberman. If you guys, I don't remember, I think it was in the 90s or something. Joe Lieberman lost in the primary, ran as an independent, got his seat back, won, then he went and registered a Democrat again, some crap like that. Well, these incumbents do not go quietly into good night, and they can whatever the hell, and I got gazillions of millions of dollars or something. The entire population of the state of freaking Alaska is only, I don't know, 500,000, 600,000, 800,000. There's only, you know, it's less than 500,000 voters, 300 and something thousand voters or something like that. So they, oh, we just need write-in. So this incumbent Republican was a write-in for office and then wins. Now, how this happened was, and it looks like the guy, you know, the other Republican that won the primary, he's ahead, but they counted, because her name was Mouskowitz or Malkowitz or some crap like that. The Secretary of State said, you know, all these Mickey Mouse, I say, Mouse is close enough, boom, that, enough to win. Go Mickey, okay? Well, who the hell would do that? A Secretary of State that happens to be the incumbent U.S. Senator's sister. Damn! It can't make the admit. There's like movie after movie. You know, and these are just like how long, ever long it tell me to. It took me to tell you that. I mean, it's just part of the movie. There's an, and this happened. There's 5 minutes. And this happened. There's 5 minutes. And this happened. By the time you get to the movie, you're just Memorex commercial. Your hair's blown back, and you're like, "What the hell just happened?" So anyway, this election cycle, the same guy that won and then had it, you know, stolen, taken, whatever. He didn't get it. The Libertarian Party had the position taken. You know, they got a guy in there on the ballot, you know, going to be on the qualified, and the party's got, and they said, you know what? Will you voluntarily stand over for the? Absolutely. Guy goes over and said, bring him on. He goes over, they take that position, put this guy in, spend some money. Sean Dow was a big campaign kind of working, you know, one of the congressmen here that Schweikert, David Schweikert, I think his name, is a congressman from East Valley here, and big Ron Paul guy, supporter, you know, kind of however much that a congressman do that. And then Sean Dow, you know, big activist inside the Republican, whatever, he worked with the Rand campaign and that train wreck and all this stuff. Well, he gets called by this guy. Hey, Sean, man, I need a operative. I need a guy, a campaign, kind of know what, you know, come on up. Well, Sean got his pilot's license. So he goes, I got my pilot's license. You know, I think, you know, you need a pilot's license, you're going to be doing Alaska. I don't know how much flying I want to do in Alaska, you know, but that's a damn, man, that's going to be some bush piloting and freaking, you better have your, you know, skills down there. But so he's got, you know, take a plane, they're going to travel around and hopefully not die, and go around as a Libertarian candidate that was the Republican that beat the incumbent and then lost in the general because she was a write-in to count Mickey Mouse and her sister was Secretary of State. I'm, you know, could I just make that up? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Don't even believe it. We're going to find out at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to that. Oh, my God. All right. So there's all this week, I think what I'm going to be doing, and we're going to start this, I may even start doing it next week. I'm going to start beginning of the week, and the top stories that, not just the most popular, the ones that I think are the most revealing or the most interesting or whatever, and I take those stories, and I make a list of them. I have my guests throughout the week. What do we learn from each one? What kind of, you know, okay, and on this episode we did this, and we did this, and we did this, on the site is this. And I think, I don't need to do it every day, but I think, you know, under 10 minutes, you know, if it's more than 5 minutes, man, you better be entertaining. So I'll do a weekly sum up of, you know, the news according to Freakin' Ernie. When I was a kid, on Sunday morning, the only thing other than some, religious programming on TV when I was a kid was Ronald McDonald Reads the Funny Papers. And all he did, the camera was just go down on, you see Beetle Bailey, you know, or, you know, family type, whatever the heck it was, family circle, and he'd just read the funnies. Ronald McDonald, read the funny. Do some little science thing, something cool, you know, good for the kids. So it's like Ernie Reads the Funny Papers. I mean, that's basically what it's going to be. So I will go ahead and do that. We're getting our social networking re-upped again and everything because we're close to the internet 2.0 kiss my butt. And when that happens, I want to be ready because I don't think I'm going to get very long before they start dialing. I've seen them do it before, and now they do it really fast and really bad and really whatever. So I'm going, we're getting all ready. Are we ready? We got to go. Boom! Look at all this stuff, and we're over here now. You want to see this in uncensored and uncovered secrets exposing lies over here. Over here. So that's what we're working on right now. And to another part, as we're getting close to that, you know, what would be another driver for that? Well, you want all the rest of this information they can't send. It's over here. And it's a lot of, you know, the shadow banning on Twitter. You know, that they don't see your account unless you're already subscribed. You can't get new people. That's because Donald Trump and Twitter, and damn it, we can't do that. Well, then when you have people rising up in Turkey or in Istanbul or Hong Kong or Tiananmen Square or whatever, the countries, oh, we need to turn off that damn Twitter, Facebook thing, and they can't, and it routes around, and oh, my God, well, we need to go global. United Nations of, we got the dial, and we can do whatever the hell we want on national, international, and kiss my butt, and people don't matter. I'm like, yeah. Yep. I'm surprised it took this long. You know, then we have, what's on Freedom's Phoenix right now? Right now, Freedom's Phoenix, what do you have? Facebook and Google are laying fiber optic cable to Asia. Facebook and Google have planes and balloons up that they can, remote areas, they can give coverage. Facebook sending satellite up on, and that's the one that blew up on the panel. They're just testing, refueling it. They weren't even getting ready to launch. Boom, it blows up this Israeli-made satellite for Facebook on SpaceX rocket blew up, and was that a bad thing? I don't know. Because what are they going to do? It's Facebook and Google Internet. It's not the Internet. Everybody, are you allowed to be on our Internet? Oh, first of all, YouTube, you're banned. Can you be banned from the Internet? It's private. Now it's UN. Feel me?
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. What we're going to do in the next, after this segment, we'll have the Libertarian Senate candidate, Joe Miller, on. And I wanted to give you that background so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it because we only get him for two segments, a half hour. It's joe4liberty.com. joe4liberty.com. Go pull that up and check it out, and we'll talk about and kind of, and this is, are you freaking kidding me? You know, so I am just, It is to cry. And I don't really mind all the cry. You know, what's one thing a libertarian fears more than anything else? A government program that works. I mean, you know, cause, man, if it's working, they're going to get, and they want to make it to where it justifies. It's good that you have, like, Obamacare. You go, you know that just fundamentally, principally, how these things are done, it's just not going to, it's not. So it's like, yay, another government program, gazillions of dollars, that didn't work. The war ad doesn't work. You know, and you get to have a say in election, and that's a government project, yeah, it doesn't work. And then when we follow through all the processes of how that they go, you know what? We don't do that anymore. We subcontracted that out. They do it. Go yell at them. We thought we were doing what? It's so much secrets and lies. That's going to change because it has to. And it's a generational thing. And I can see that this is happening as you watch it. And I have been predicting that a lot of us actively, we're going, you know, that, you know what doesn't continue? That which can't continue. It just doesn't, you know, sooner or later, but who suffers? We do. You know, fortunately, out of the whole thing, what do I hope we take out of it? That we come out with our wealth intact or something, or we got a little bit of silver or Bitcoin or something, we might survive and some food, and you know, that's, you know, better than not. But the bad guys, they always get theirs. They may give up some scapegoats, and there's some CEO that has the, you know, like Wells Fargo guy. Oh, he was fired, retired, whatever, but he got his golden parachute of a crap load of he's fine. And then he'll go on. That's a minimum job requirement for him to go to the next whatever. Well, wasn't he the guy? Yep, that's what qualified him. Well, wasn't this scumbag politician? Yep, that's what qualified him. Then what? I'll tell you what the secret is. You think it's more complicated than this, and it's not. You recognize who the bad guys are, the ones that won't leave you alone. Those just want to be left alone, those just won't leave them alone. I mean, you know, that's who you know, the bad guys. They're bad. They're bad, they won't leave me alone. Who is it that has the power not leave me? They want more power to not leave me alone. They're not leaving me alone. They're taking, oh, well, pinky swear for decade, oh, got to have Social Security, Medicaid, and all kind of entitlement program, and it's gone now. And you go, yeah, but you probably pinky swore kind of, it's gone now. All your pensions, if you're in U.S. dollar, it's gone. If you're in some kind of, you know, they control and do, and you're allowed to move and can't, and kind of in the 501, it goes in the private sector, they get guy, it's gone now. And it's gone. So what do you do? Where do you put your investments? Well, it's got to be something you hold, something you have, something. If you don't have it, you don't got it. And the one thing that you can do is, how much information do you have? How much, you know, understanding do you have? How much do you, reality, uncover the secret, supposed lies in your head, you're going to do? The revolution is between the ears. That's what we want to be able to promote. And when we saw the internet, keep in mind, you know, my first email account was 93. I remember, you know, we were activists going, what the hell? We could see the first thing that we did is we go, are they doing the same thing in other parts of the country? We were on a Second Amendment alt list of Fido, Paul Revere, net of BBS, something kind of email. Oh, you mean we can, like, communicate in the same day with people, other activists like us around the country? And I remember it was Connecticut, of all places. It was some Second Amendment thing. And we were describing what was going on here in legislation, how they were working on a local city level to ban FFLs from being able to have a license to buy and sell guns for their friends, and kind of, you know, you do all the paperwork and everything from your kitchen table of that, not allowed because it's not zoned. It's a zoning thing on the city level, and you're not properly zoned. You can't do that. So then the BATF, you can't do that because the city and the zoning thing. And I go, is anybody else doing this? Hell yeah, it's nationwide, all over. It was a tactic. Low-hanging fruit. How are we going to do this? How are we going to get it out of the hands of the people? We need to, where BATF can kick in the retail store if you're not allowed. And I'm going, it's a ratcheting down in every aspect of everything to now that the communication that people have, and it's United Nations, you're not allowed, we turn the dial. YouTube heroes. They're flagging entire accounts. Yeah, I'm a YouTube hero, and I have the power of flag. We don't like this and what he said, and kind of flagged. Facebook, they're putting up their, you know, balloons, satellites, drones, freaking planes of forever going around solar and gotten coverage. And then we got Facebook and Google fiber optic going across the Pacific of we rule you. And what happens when you go on a private air? It's like being on Verizon, right? I don't like you. You told, check here. It said, I agree. I totally agree. I agree. I totally agree. I agree. to whatever I just want to use it. Oh, well, you got to use it by what, and we get to surveil and do and kind of hand over. That's part of it. I agree. You agreed. Yeah. What's my option? That's why I'm jerking around with Cox Cable right now. I keep testing because my speeds are just all jacked up. Something, there's somebody that knows that something is special or that is something. You know, so my thing is not, you know, I'm bitching about, hey, they're not giving. No, what's my bitch? That I don't have an option. It got monopolized. You know, in Europe, they have super, you know, gig, multiple gig, 40 gig down, up. God, man, are you freaking kidding me? Well, this is what gave James Corbett his advantage when he moved to Japan in 2004 to 2007, around there. You know, he's there with free high-speed internet on where he was living in Japan, so he had the ability to uncover the secrets, exposing the lies, and be able to do all the videos and everything that he does because he had access to high-speed, high-speed internet to accumulate this information when before anybody else did. If you read the book by Malcolm Gladwell, he did two books. One was called Outlier, and one was David versus Goliath. And Outlier was about, why are these people so smart? Why are they billionaires? Why are they, what makes them an outlier? And what he came across is, a lot of times they had some disability. You know, they had dyslexia, they had something they had to overcome, and it was because of that that they were able to overcome, and that's where the book from that research of Outlier became David versus Goliath. And it was like, look, man, you know, there's, because of their opposition, it gave, you know, their disability or some challenge, or, you know, that kind of gave them this upper hand because they overcome that and character traits, bid, whatever. But the outlier thing, he was saying, why is this guy so great at the violin? Why is this guy so great at computer? Why is this guy, well, the 10,000 hour thing. The reason Gates and Jobs, he said, that they rose up so much is because they got a head start on act. There's all these smart guys out there. There's guys, big brain box guys, the Snowden guys. You watch the movie Snowden, and that boy had skills. He was, the reason he was where he was at is because he was the super geek guy that could do it. And then he realized that the programs that he wrote, you know, this SHIELD thing or whatever, all of a sudden they're using it to, yeah, that was really good information, man. We took that. We could drag the entire internet and use that. And he's like, wow. Wow. So what made these guys so smart? Because Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, you know, were at private schools that had access to computers, and they got the first 10,000 hours that we know how to code and do. They just happened to be first to market. But now, a whole bunch of people have access to this kind of technology, and others that are coming, uncovering the secrets, exposing lies, individuals being able to empower all of us.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're trying to get Joe Miller on. Donna's working on it. JoeForLiberty.com. This guy, I was really looking forward to doing it. Hopefully, we'll be able to get him on and call him, bug on him, and Alaska. Well, you know, if I'm doing my rant enough, am I ranted up? If I got, you know, I got your attention on you, I'm just like, you know, and next. What's next? Where are we going next? But what's going on right now, we were talking in the last hour, Scott Horton, Anti-War Radio, is, you know, I want people to kind of pay attention to this. Here in northern Iraq, about 350, 300 miles from Aleppo in Iraq, is Mosul. And America is allowing 9,000 ISIS fighters to escape Mosul so they can go to Aleppo, or on the way there, there's Rasa, whatever the heck it is, Raqqa. They go to Raqqa, and they're already, it's like a, you know, half a day drive. It's, you know, it's the morning of the highway, kind of go across, you know, you're going from, you know, I don't know, from Atlanta to, you know, or from like Pensacola to Atlanta. No, it's more like Atlanta to Mobile. You know, it's not even that far. So you're going west. And about two-thirds of the way to Aleppo, yeah, I've got another city and a base, and that's going to get obliterated, you know. But they are allowing ISIS fighters to go from Mosul, and U.S. protecting them to do it, to go into northern Syria so they can fight Assad and or Russians. And the Russians go, You're letting ISIS go to fight. I thought we came in to help you kick ISIS's butt, and then kind of overnight, now they're your guy. What? Is this going to make the debate? Is this going to be part of that day? Going to talk about this in debate? Or is it going to go, oh, God, we got to bomb the shit out of ISIS. I bombed the shit out of them. I don't care. Donald Trump. Unless what? I mean, this is he even going to bring this? Does he even know? What game is he playing? Well, that's one thing that, you know, Scott said he doesn't read. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. It's whatever he sees on TV. He's using that 10 million people that watch cable news. 10 million. That's it. 10 million. 10 million. I mean, I can do it right now. I tell you what. I will do this right for you right now. I go up here. It's, you know, it'll pull up. And we'll just do a search. And it says, viewership cable news. Boom. Put it up there. Okay. The total average viewership over a 24-hour period for Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC combined increased 7% in 2015 to an average of 1.9 million.
Woo.
For CNN, that meant 23% growth to 490,000. For MSNBC, 2% growth to 352,000. And Fox News, 3% growth to, oh my God, 1.1 million viewers. What the hell is that? 2, 3, 4 million? That don't mean nothing. Prime time. Let's go in, you know, let's see what we're looking at here. CNN falls to MSNBC in prime time for second straight week and yada, 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 yada. For a total of MSNBC finished seventh overall in prime time, averaging over 1 million viewers. CNN, 723,000. Fox News got 600,000. You know, this is, are you freaking kidding me? During the, so I give them, you know, kind of a solid and say, okay, let's say 10 million on the big giant night of, oh my God, and Trump and Hillary are sitting there choking each other on, you know, national television one after another and kind of the blood's running and mopping up the walls. Now I got maybe 10 million. Now, when you watch the debates, that may be a lot more. That'd be, you know, 50, 80 something million. They'd go, what the hell is this? What? And then you watch the next debate. It's the same. What the hell is this? Benghazi emails your husband, you know, like raped and molested, and I say pussy, and you know, and ISIS got to go bomb them wall. Didn't even hear a bunch about immigration or the wall last time. So I'm just going, that's it. President of the United States of America, that's it. Compared to what? 08 and 12, where we had Ron Paul up there going, you know, hey man, I'm going to teach you something about something. You know something? What am I learning? Are they going to talk about, we got to bomb the crap out of ISIS? You know, if Trump comes up and says, why did we let, you know, almost 10,000 or more ISIS fighting whatever, leave Mosul, and we gave him protection to go into northern Syria to do a sodden kind of war in Russia and thermonuclear of, or what the hell? That even going to come up? Covering the secrets and exposing the lies. That should be your standard in your own freaking head. And don't count on me to do it. You know, I'm amazed I do as much as I do, kind of, I don't care. Like, if it happens outside of me, the only reason I do this just as an example is to say, look, one more reason why you shouldn't listen to that damn thing these people say. And why the hell are we over? Why do we even care? Are we supposed to care as a country to force your money and people and livelihood and your kids to go and fight and die and kill? They always go, you know, nobody died. They go, not one person American lost their lives in Libya. God, not one person. Of course, we laid waste to a bunch of family and killed children and stuff, but that doesn't count. You know, maybe Black Lives Matter, but, you know, Muslim brown people don't. What? What's your thought process? I have, you know, close family, friends of family, in-laws, and kind of, you know, go, yeah, you know, I'm kind of still on the fence on the irony you're right about, but what? But I support the troops. Good, bring them home. I have a lot of respect for the military. So do I. Man, is commanding you. You get some SEAL team trained whip-ass kind of merkin, going to butt, give them every freaking thing. Go whip-ass. But then they want Yeah, we're going to do that. We just do robots. We got some chick up there. You know, that's one thing. I went and saw the Snowden movie last night. But Keith, he read the book and he went through. So he kind of, we get almost to the end. I'm good. It was like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes left of the movie. And I go, you didn't miss anything. He walks out with the thing and, it's done. But this second time I watched it. And I remember when they're all gathered around. Yep. Watch this. And you got the girl on the screen. You can see her face as she's guiding the Reaper, and the missiles launch and boom, and blew up a guy. Well, who was that guy? I don't know. Why'd you blow him up? Because we were tracking his phone. So you blew up a phone? Well, yeah. Why? Because it was a terrorist phone. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't. Life sucks. And then as the other, you're sitting there watching the vans and stuff come to help the people, and kind of, and the second bomb killed everybody else. Whew. This kind of philosophy, this nation, this ideology, this support structure, these people, they don't survive. They can't. There's no support structure for. There usually is a revolution of some kind, an awareness, a rising up of the people. They go into the shadows with all the money and the resources that they had. And then they'll, buy up everything at pennies on the dollar, and then they just sell it to you all over again and finance and interest of whatever. Decentralization, and you cannot declare your independence unless you're independent. You're not dependent on all of these systems, all of these utilities, all these grids, all these monopoly. And the technology is getting to the point that we don't have to be. Then they get into building codes, sustainable development. You're not allowed to do that. You'd be off the grid. You're condemned if you're not on the water system of the sewer treatment of the flush the toilet of the power going in, kind of, you're not allowed. Really? There's an awakening coming. There's a fourth turning coming. There's a realization coming. There's a, epiphany coming. And it already is starting to happen with everybody under 40. They're growing up knowing that they're alive. Everybody? No. There's a lot of new people get bamboozled. There always is. And if they can't get them, get with the program, they just vaccinate them.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I get to talk about what I want to talk about in the last segment here. Positive news. Trouble on YouTube. Here, are you ready? Here we go. Yeah, I just can't get enough of Aerosmith sometimes. Just get in the mood to just kind of dream. I am. We'll just let it play in the background a bit. Because, I'm so satisfied that this stuff is so bad and it's so obvious to so many, but when you have people go, yeah, but what about we got to go and participate and go and God, you're being freaking drones, man. Yeah, when the hell is this ever, what? I'm going, understand what the real problem is. It's us. Why do we keep falling for this crap all the time, over and over and over? And over. Well, it's because we don't understand, or we're afraid, or it's peer pressure. I mean, it's just, you know, you got, you know, get some information so that you can speak with confidence. You have to be able to go three levels. They're going to say, yeah, but what about this? I got an answer for that. Well, what about this? I got an answer for that. What about this? Got an answer for that. They fold up and done, and America. There we go. Dang it, man. I'm just so, whoa. All right. Positive news. Here we go. It's something. You know, I want my flying car. I want my flying house with my flying car in it, docking to it. You know, oh, yeah, and then carry on my yacht and stuff. You know, this is happening now. Here we go. All right. Lockheed's hybrid airship is part blimp, part hovercraft, no hot air, yada, yada, yada. This is a story that keeps developing. They're building a lot of these. There's another one called Aeroscraft, and they're going to be doing, well, this is Lockheed, all right? So they're going to get a bunch of attention. There's a bunch of others, but Lockheed, what does that mean? Oh, yeah, they're going to militarize it and take entire divisions of the flying air force of, might as well be, God, what was that movie with Jude Law and Angelina Jolie? It was... some comic book World War II fighter jet blimp go airship thing, you know, Avengers flying aircraft carriers because they can. All right. The rebirth of the airship is the perennial next big thing in aviation. Of course, any talk of reviving the genre that never quite rose to meet its proponents' lofty expectations comes with the inevitable wisecracks about the Hindenburg. Now, one thing about the Hindenburg, it was at least 3-4 times as big. This is 20s, 30s. You know, this is a, you know, Hindenburg, the German government, they've been, ooh, we got the big freaking, go watch Rocketeer. You'll see, you know, the idea they had, these big giant airships. Go watch Iron Sky. Heck, they came from Nazis on the dark side of the moon. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of, think about this. I mean, just, all right. Before I go into that, well, let me read this and I'll tell you some of the stuff that you can do with this. Now, Lockheed Martin thinks it can make people stop laughing with its hybrid airship, a sort of aircraft that combines the upsides of the airship with the abilities of a hovercraft. Okay, maybe they'll laugh a little. It looks like they pissed off a swarm of bees, but the hybrid airship is nevertheless coasting into reality after decades of development with Lockheed's secretive Skunk Works division in Palmdale, California. Skunk Works did the U-2 and the SR-71 Blackbird and the, you know, Mach 4, 5, 6. They don't even tell you how fast that thing really goes. And you're like, ooh! The program is one of just two large airship efforts in the world close to fruition. The other is hybrid air vehicles Airlander 10, a.k.a. the Flying Bum. A one-third scale version of Lockheed's ship took off early, nearly 8 years ago, and the venerable defense contractors now 3 years from the rolling out of production version. 3 years before the next presidential election, we have big giant fleets of we're going to whatever. They surveil, they fly, can I put my house in it? Yeah, you can do that too if you got enough money. I got enough money. I'm a rich whatever the heck and tycoon of developed a software or something, and I want my flying house, and who do I belong to now? But that's what's its lifting capacity? What did we all excited about yesterday? Oh, this Friday, it starts. Gold rush. Na, 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 na. What's the big thing? Oh, we could go mine that mountain, make a bunch of gold, get kind of bad, but we just can't get a road. We don't have a road. Got to build a road. Got to get the tractor trailer, and then the permafrost starts melting and the mudslide kind of we can't do. I go, what the hell, man? Why don't they just put in the big sea container and airship, just go drop it. There, done. Problem solved. Done. Well, what's happened with the Canadian government? The Canadian government, you know, here, I tell you what, I'll pull up some airship stuff up. I'll give you some pictures to look at. I'll prepare that for another time. All right. This is what's happening. When you have big, heavy equipment that you need transported somewhere, you know, how do you do that? Well, you got to build a highway or it's a ship port or something going in. You got to have a big airport for a C-130 or a C-5A, a Galaxy, you know, big, I got to deliver something. Well, you're in the middle of the tundra, Alaska, kind of, I don't know if that's going to happen. How you get these big oil the big oil fields and so on out in the middle of the nothing. How do they do that? I mean, it's a lot of times ice road truckers. They got to go on frozen rivers that they drive across or up to get to, you know, because that's easier even than when it's flowing. But they just, you know, wait till it freeze, and they, you know, so you're limited in what you can do. Now, if it's in, you know, like Amazon area or something, you got a barge, okay? And a native tell you, you know, which fork to take. But a GPS, I guess. So what happens is you have now the ability to lift 50 tons. Even the smaller versions are 20 tons, you know, 50 tons, 600 tons, 1,000 tons. This is what? I mean, this is, you know, helicopter gunships and tanks and troops and troops and, you know, stuff that they're going. Here, it's Sean. So maybe we'll go ahead and have it. We can do a podcast and have them come and add it to it or something we need to. Well, what I'm going to go ahead and do is describe to you what can happen. If I have an airship, they're doing it right now. Paul Allen, when they helped fund Spaceship One and then winning the Onassari X Prize by having a private individual go into space, you win, bet $20 million to get your $10 million prize. But, you know, they did it. Well, Paul Allen goes, well, this is great. We can have a big twin boom aircraft that has, I think it's at least 4 to 6 747 engines on this thing, and it lifts. You're like, they don't need the first stage. The plane is the first stage. That's what is so cool about the Spaceship One and Spaceship Two. It lifts the rocket up to, I don't know, 60, 70,000 feet as high as it can go up there. And it gets, and then it kind of tilts up like this, you know, the nose up, and then drops it. And the rocket takes off. It goes into orbit. Saves a bunch of money. So I'm going, okay. So we're going to go ahead and have that there. Now, what if it was a airship? You know, they have these balloons go to the freaking stratosphere. So this, right, hold on a second. What? No, okay. Well, yeah, have Sean come on. We'll just do a podcast after. Have him call in, be there. And at the end of the show, we'll do the thing on Alaska. All right, so we got that covered. Now, what happens is you have a balloon. They go up to the space. There's the stratosphere. You see the curvature of it. It's black up, top and down, kind of whatever. And what happens? Well, you don't have a lot of air resistance or anything. You hit boosters on and boom, you go. So let me tell you what I know is. They didn't even see him talking about it. It's because, you know, you need to ask a 12-year-old this stuff. And they go, well, how come you just don't have an airship that goes all the way up to the edge of space and then the rockets go and you just go? You get enough speed, you get into orbit, you don't have all the air to kind of do that, or you just stay up there near space and you can, like, you know, need to go to a meeting, you just drop down and do a big giant, you know, Star Trek space jump, a parachute down, and within 10 minutes you're at work and you live up there. And you take your drone ship and rocket, kind of go and live in, you know, in space or at the edge of space. You're not even in orbit in space. You're floating in space. Oh, and how you make your money? You're a internet provider. Yeah, I connect to you over the city of the kind of whatever. And what's going to happen? The man's going to go, nope, but be prudent at this juncture. So where do you do it? Out in the middle of the ocean. Over what? Over seasteading platforms where they're out off the coast of the French Polynesia, out in the Pacific Ocean, where they're just building their own city. And they got a sister city right above them, a bunch of blimps, airships. This stuff is happening right. It would already have happened if you just get the freaking government out of the way. Future's bright. We're going to need to wear shades. Hey, man, we tried. I don't want to be blamed.
No. It's the air travel. He was on a bush tour down in Sitka, and they hit storms, and his flight was supposed to land early this morning, but he's been delayed 2 hours, is what I'm being told from the airlines.
All right. So are we going to try again?
Yeah, I'm going to have him call in. Dama said you can do a podcast later, or we can reschedule for when you're live again.
Let's go ahead and try and reschedule with Donna. Today would have been a really good time. In the first hour, we did a lot of, you know, we talked about, you know, this and election fraud, and we're doing a lot of machine stuff. John Brakey, out of AZ, is having a lot of success in Pima, and it's so much stuff going on. But go ahead, and I've told for the audience that we could tell this story. I tried to sum it up, but go ahead and just tell me the story of who this guy is and where he's at now and how it's going. Go.
Joe Miller is within single digits of Lisa Murkowski. This will be the first libertarian ever elected to the U.S. Senate. It is going to happen from what we're seeing here on the ground. It is game on. we've been blasting the airwaves like crazy with his ads. The biggest problem that we have here is the vote fraud. It's been ridiculous. They just had another huge vote fraud that went to the courts, and the courts cheated the guys again. They gave every single person who walked into the voting booth two ballots to vote, one Democrat, one Republican. Gave them both. Had everybody vote twice. Went to court. The judge said the other guy wins because they took away the two ballots. And then the guy who lost, the incumbent, sued or went to court and appealed it and got it overturned, and now he's winning again. They gave him all back the double ballots again. It is nonstop, constant vote fraud here, man.
Okay, as I recall, you had the incumbent Republican was beaten in the last Senate race to this guy by this gentleman that's a libertarian.
Yep.
She ran as a write-in in the general. Her sister is Secretary of State and counted votes for Mickey Mouse for her because her last name was what?
Murkowski.
Murkowski, so that's close to Mousky. So they go, that counts, and he wins.
I'm not sure if it was a sister. I know it was family in the Secretary of State.
Okay. So it's I'm close to something. I mean, I'm all right.
Yeah.
This is so he became all of a sudden they decided that they're going to have the Libertarian Party said we can let this guy, you know, run as the Libertarian Senate candidate. So one guy stepped aside, said, yeah, bring it on. Let's go do it. And then they call you and you say, hey, man, we're going to do this. Let's go get some. And then what happens? They got your money comes from what?
Well, I've had Joe locked in a windowless room dialing for dollars 6 hours a day. That's where he's been raising the money. And we've raised $260,000 in 3 weeks.
Wow. Good job, man.
All
right,
from Alaska small donors, man.
Okay, now if I was going on here, I go on and I search and I say, you know, how's this race doing? Now I'm going Joe Miller versus what?
Lisa Murkowski.
Lisa Murkowski. I got close enough there. All right, so we go United States Senate election 2010. Alaska politician complicates life while the Democrat, yada, yada. Now she's Democrat.
Well, in our opinion, she's a Democrat, but she is a Republican.
Okay.
However, most of the Republican Central Committee has either resigned so that they can publicly support Joe, or are just sitting there quietly. Lisa Murkowski had to resign her seat in the Republican Party because she refused to, or she went out and attacked Trump over his locker room talk video.
Yeah.
So she has lost her ability to vote within the Republican Party in Alaska.
What? As what?
Yeah.
The party itself says you can't vote at our state convention or something? Or, I mean, what are they talking
about? When she holds a seat on the Central Committee of the Alaska Republican Party, and they forced her to resign 3 days ago.
Okay, so Alaska is a big We Love Trump guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll win here by 20 points.
Okay, let me see. Alaska to run is up. The latest stories that I see, that, you know, with a Google search, not that that means anything, is September. I'm not getting anything. Let's see. Is there any news? Let me try. Let's see. Joe.
Click over
Miller,
on the news.
But that's what I've done. And try this search news. Mark Levin endorses Joe Miller for U.S. Senate in Alaska. Mark Levin, isn't he some talk show guy or something? Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay, so he endorses. Joe Miller determined on the seat, yada, yada, yada. September. I got the earliest thing is September 26th. the most recent news article. So how are they covering it there? Is this whole libertarian U.S. Senate kicking ass on the incumbent up there? Are they keeping everybody in the dark across the planet or something?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's, you know, the establishment here pretty much owns all the newspapers and things like that. But the latest poll is the PPD poll, the public something poll, that shows Lisa Murkowski at 38 and Joe Miller at 30.
Wow. Okay, wait. Here we got the latest on Alaska's U.S. Senate race. This is yesterday. Participating in the debate are incumbent Republican Lisa Murkowski, Democrat Ray Metcalf, and Independents Margaret Stock and Beck Craig. So you're saying he didn't even get in the debates?
No, that was not a debate. That was a forum that was held by everybody who has endorsed and supported Lisa Murkowski. So if you actually read that article, you'll see my our statement in there about Joe Miller was in doing a Bush tour in the Southeast instead of talking to voters, instead of talking to Lisa Murkowski's supporters and donors. And then it lists everybody who participated in that forum that put it on as her donors and supporters. We have a debate tomorrow that's live on TV that Lisa is not showing up for. She refuses to show up to any televised debates. There are only two main televised debates up here, and she's not going to any of them.
Wow.
She'd rather go to hold forums with her supporters who are, you know, sending, you know, $10,000, $50,000 into her campaign.
Okay, survey conducted before she withdrew support for Trump. This is yesterday or day before. And so, man, she got crap beat out of her for that one, I guess. And then it says that they, of all the candidates right behind, let's see, Miller, I guess Joe Miller is second place. Okay. Let's see, by what? So is she look like she's having some trouble? Is she going to win? How well is Miller doing?
He's doing real well. I mean, the only real poll that's been done, there's been some bullshit Lisa Murkowski stuff by the same guy that said Joe had 9 points. He only had 9%, and then he won last time, this Ivan Moore guy. He puts out shit polls. There is one of those out there that still shows Joe at it's in second place, but the real outside poll that was done is at 38 to 30. I can send you a link to that.
Yeah, you know, well, send me anything. I'll put this should be like neon flashing, you know, headline news or somewhere or something. You know, send me goodies. Just put it up.
I agree. I can't get these media here anywhere.
Screw the media there. You know, what the hell? See, let me tell you what always happens. This is, I want to slap all you guys around. You know, the news does not report the news. They report spin on the olds. So what happens is the only time that the local, when they start reporting on this, is when everybody else already has heard it, know about it, whatever. Then they try and spin it. My job is to try and make sure this becomes news and everybody already knows. Then they go, hey, we're getting a lot of attention and searches on. Oh, we got to spin it. You know, well, let them spin it and do what at least they're covering it. So get me the stuff and I will do what I can, make a big woohoo.
Will do.
Waiting on you now.
Be in your inbox soon.
All right. Well, this is, wow. You know, a libertarian second place up against an incumbent got, and the same guy that actually beat her in election before. She goes to the general as a write-in with relatives in the Secretary of State's office. If they did, you know, counting Mickey Mouse's votes for her, she wins. Are you freaking kidding me?
It's that ugly here, dude.
I well, you know, like I, you know, I'm so shocked, not, you know. So, all right, well, keep us up on this. We're in the good time now. I mean, now's the time to get him. Send me this stuff. We'll pump it up, but I need him on.
I will get him as soon as he lands, brother.
All right, well, you know, if today, yeah, we could add it to the end. I want to do, I wouldn't mind doing at least an hour podcast without commercial interruption. Maybe we can set that up for Monday or the week or something. I'm busy, but I mean, and then, of course, get them on the live show. We'll work it out. You know, work it out with Donna, and we'll see. Today, what am I doing today? I might be able to do something today. Let's see. You know, we'll add a special bonus, whatever the hell, and put it up. But I like to get it live out on the network because there's a lot of the people that, you know, this was, today would have been good because we were covering this kind of stuff today. Go ahead and just stay in touch with us. I want to get him on record and in, and let's get him on. And go, he's party. I look at it back, ooh, he kind of party too. So let's go ahead and do what we can to help. I'll be waiting on you guys to contact us, okay?
Will do.
All right, peace, brother. Bye.
All right, bye.